It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time.
Maido! And welcome to the next latest greatest 8-4 play podcast. E3 hype train leaving the station.
E3 hype train.
Wait, that's a lot of red.
That's all right.
Okay,
JJ, yeah, fix it.
Sorry,
in post.
Sorry for your ears.
There's a lot of red because we're just that excited about
for what? What are we excited about?
About the E3 trade
hype
show.
I'm not putting.
Yes, you are.
Quantity DJs, and every time Jed says that crap.
Yes, you are, ladies and gentlemen. That's our promise. Every time someone says E3 hype train. JJ.
We're never going to start the podcast.
Okay, it's going to add in a little bit of zest there, and that's just because we're so excited about the Electronic Entertainment Expo that's probably already started by the time you listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
So bear in mind, this podcast was recorded on the Thursday before E3. So if our predictions, we're going to get into predictions, we're going to get into prognosticating, what are other different words for predictions, whatever it is, we're gonna do it.
Soothsaying.
Very good. Yes. Thank you. We're gonna be doing all of that, and a lot of it will probably be already proven wrong by the time you hear this, because stuff is coming out tonight and tomorrow leading up to press conferences starting on Monday, which we're going to talk about. We're also going to talk about our very special guest, one Mr. Sir Ben Judd, who you
no salutations necessary
may have heard of before. That's otherwise known as King of Japan.
That salutation is necessary.
Gen Bud,
right?
Or Osaka Ben is also known as.
Very nice. Yes, we were gonna call it, when we were first planning this podcast.
Yes.
We were thinking about when Ben, you were still working at Capcom, having him come on under an alias.
Captain Horsedick?
It was Remington Steel, I think it was.
That's right. Steel. I forgot that until you said that just now. It was Remington Steel. We were going to have your voice modified and everything.
Right. I would sound like Pierce Brosnan the whole time?
Maybe.
Probably.
Or maybe the girl.
I'd get some chicks.
Maybe we could try to do that retroactively.
But you might
forget
remember
you heard who this was.
Giving me too much work to do.
Gong! Hype E3 Hype Train! I remember, Ben, from such hits as Bionic Commando Rearmed back in his days as a Capcom producer.
Never heard of it.
Or Bionic Commando the Reboot for the Next Gen Systems. You probably don't remember that one.
No, few people do.
But you also might remember him from Top Secret, the Capcom podcast that you kind of were a big part of getting started.
I was the motivating force behind that.
Do they still do it?
No.
No.
Oh, in fact, that it came and went along with Bionic Commando for some reason, which is too bad because it was a really good podcast.
Yeah,
I actually really liked it.
Thank you very much, Mark. Your podcast is on par as well.
You've never listened to it. And that's fine.
He said he listened to a couple.
Twice. Yes.
That's not true.
It's true.
Really?
It's true.
Aw. So Ben is along. We're going to talk a little bit about what Ben does these days, which is basically like a video game industry
masturbate
agent.
Chickens.
Illuminati is what he is. That's
you
right.
You said I could be as dirty as I wanted.
You can, absolutely. That doesn't mean I'm not going to still roll my eyes and try to change the subject when
right,
you say stupid jokes.
How do we change subjects in this podcast?
E3
I can tell because it's when the wavelength gets like totally black. Yeah.
Touche.
Pretty easy.
All right. Well, I promise we'll settle down and start talking about video games for a minute. But just to finish running out the cast, people probably already know that person who's sounding really worried every time we say E3 hype train. JJ Dildo 1 Epperson.
There's nothing wrong with dildos.
Yeah. Well, okay, we were Mark was asking me what games we played today, and Guild 01 was one of the games, and it just sounded like you said Dildo 1, and yeah, whatever.
It didn't really.
I want to take this brief moment to tell podcast listeners I am not John Ricciardi. We have different voices.
I didn't know that's how you pronounce his last name.
last week, John called people who were complaining about the DLC for Street Fighter Cross Tekken entitled and blah, 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 blah. And then people said that I was saying that.
Okay, that's great. We got it.
Yes, that was not me. I do not buy DLC. I do not like DLC.
Right, okay. I'm glad that was so important that you like had
no,
to
don't,
get it.
I don't want my opinion. I don't want
to be
misrepresented.
Guilty.
And then rounding out the cast, of course, Brendan P-Wing Pritchard.
P-Wing?
Well, yeah.
Say something funny.
It's a video game term.
Well, I know what a P-Wing is. I don't know why it's my nickname is the real problem.
Pigu no Pichan, I don't know. We got these last minute nicknames. Sometimes they got to come off the fly, Brendan. So.
I'm confused, but yeah. Okay.
But you're here, and you're going to talk about Guild 01, which we just mentioned a little bit.
I spent this today's lunch break completely ignoring our guests and completely ignoring all conversation just to play this game for you,
all in
our
the
listeners.
Name, that's right. We're also going to talk a little bit about Dragon's Dogma. We'll talk about Sonic for episode 2 and maybe a little Diablo 3. But before that, let's get into this E3 stuff, because this is the stuff we want to get out of the way at the top of the show. There's a lot of it, and it's the most exciting stuff right now, and it's the kind of stuff people will probably want to skip through when they're listening to this a few days from now. So we don't really have like a strict format here, but we were thinking we'll start off just going through the big three, kind of in thinking about their press conferences, but also just in thinking about what's going to be there at the show.
Yeah,
from the three of them. So let's start with the one company that we know is going to be showing a new console.
Right.
Yep. Nintendo.
Of course.
The Wii U.
Yep.
You may have heard of it.
Still called the Wii U.
It looks like that's not changing.
So that's one thing. Let's cross that off the list. Wii U name change. I think it's pretty safe to bet. Now, we also know they've announced that there is not going to be a price or date announced at E3.
Right.
Which is kind of a bummer. But when you think about it, I think it's obvious the reason why. It's when they announce that later, they get a whole nother big press bump.
Can I ask a question?
Yep.
And, of course, I'm not from the media side of things.
Well, none of us
Either
are.
Either are we, actually. Yeah.
None of you are.
Go ahead.
But my question would be,
yes.
So they actually have made an announcement. They are not announcing specifics.
About price and date. Yes.
Why not just announce what you announce at E3 and just be done with it?
Because I think they're
They're setting expectations.
Yeah, right. Yes. Exactly. They don't want people
There's
walking out.
There's no fun
out.
In that.
It's all about that now, man. Yeah. Announcements about announcements about announcements are all the rage right now. You've seen it where people are like, there's going to be something on our website in 2 days.
Dude.
In 2 days, there's a countdown to something else.
Every game that comes out in Japan has a countdown site now.
It's true.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But we digress. So, they have said no, which is a bummer because it used to be E3 was the big, walk up PS1, say $299, boom, that's it. But so date and price, we've talked about this before, but real quick, let's just get on record. What do you guys think it will be eventually?
Early December, $299.
I think mid-November.
Price?
And price I'm going to say $250.
Okay.
Ben, my December is Japan, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think it not America?
I think in America it'll be late November.
Okay.
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 I guess it's not, the date isn't too much. I mean, unless they go early, they're probably going to go before Black Friday. They're going to go before Black Friday, for sure.
Right. That's why I said mid-November.
Okay.
What he said.
Which one? JJ?
That would be me.
$250 November.
$250 November.
Sounds pretty good.
Go with the safe bet.
I think it's got to be $300, but we'll see.
Have you seen how weak the dollar is recently?
Yeah, I know. Well,
you think it's going to be $300?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Interesting.
I think they got it.
Have you heard about the specs?
No, but please tell us.
Yes. If you know anything, please enlighten us.
I have.
E3 Actress! All right. So 3DS redesign.
Coming.
Really?
Definitely.
You think they're going to show it at E3?
And I think there was a kind of a hint to that today. Hachima, the big Japanese gaming blog, reported that Amazon was pretty much out of stock of almost all the 3DSs.
Mm.
Which could hint at a new version coming
out. Because Amazon would never let that happen.
That's kind of specious logic, right? I mean,
it is, but I mean, timing is right.
Okay, so you think that there will be one?
I think there will be one.
Do you guys...
I think there will be one. I'm not so sure it'll be announced immediately at
E3. Announcing it at E3 seems to kind of take away from Wii U, right? This has got to be... I mean, they're going to have to be like, 3DS momentum is going. I think Nintendo's big thing... Let's just back up a little bit. Nintendo's big thing with their press conference is... Wii U, it's coming, it's amazing. Here's, you know, three launch games from Nintendo. Mm. Here are the third parties are fully behind it, and we're really doing online this time. I think they have to stress the online message.
But I think they've unveiled a redesign in a new console in one show before. I think it was like the Game Boy Micro and then something and the Nintendo DS were announced in the same show.
I suppose, but I'm thinking the best time to announce a 3DS redesign would be the conference when they announce the Wii U price and date, assuming that that's not a major conference. If it's just by the way, here's the date and time, they may want something else to bolster that announcement to give it more strength, and a new 3DS might be perfect for
maybe.
Redesign 3DS, do you even think it's ever happening?
It's gonna happen, sure,
yeah, with the second analog.
This is Nintendo we're talking about,
right?
Yes,
of course
it will happen.
Do you think it will have the second analog stick when it happens?
That's a very good question. In the past, they've never ever done that. They've never ever change the base control system of a unit. They may have changed the size, its weight, its lighting, etc., but they've never ever added something like that that would fractionalize the old games from the new games.
Probably the closest that there came was the DSi, right? Where it added features, but it didn't, it was never any part where it would be
there were always sub features. It wasn't, like I said, the base part of the control
scheme. Well, the OS was completely different on the i, but to counter that, look at the Wii and all the different peripherals that you have to own.
Peripherals.
That you have to own in order to play certain games like Zelda.
Right.
That needs the classic controller.
But it's not, that's a controller, though. That's not the system itself.
Well, I mean, we're talking about similar things, right?
But Nintendo would never, for example, confuse people by releasing a game. Even if they released a second one that had a second analog stick, a second redesigned 3DS, it would be an optional thing.
Well, I'm sure for
the
most
game
games.
Would still work with it without it.
Sony didn't do it. I can't see Nintendo doing it.
No. Okay, let's move on. Games, launch games, big games. So Pikmin is the kind of obvious thing. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess some kind of... I think one of the big things with Wii U is that they're going to be really pushing is the near-field communication stuff.
Right.
Like... dolls and stuff. Maybe they'll be the Pokemon thing. I have to think that they'll have a Mario game, that they've learned that lesson by now. They need to have a Mario game. But I will say Pikmin, some kind of like a Wii U version and a 3DS game, or maybe that it works on Wii U and 3DS.
Some sort of transferability.
An interesting question is, would a big part, would the 3DS interoperability be a thing with Wii U?
That was actually one of my predictions. I have 3DS and Wii U constantly communicating, trading data, and allowing the 3DS to street pass for you for your Wii while you're out.
For your Wii U.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a thing. And as far as like a game that uses the near-field communications, I think there's going to be a new Miyamoto IP that uses it in a big way.
So they're going to be like... here's this cool new feature, and here's the new IP that totally shows you how it's done. Right.
Interesting. That's going to be the thing.
Okay.
Other retro studios, their game is going to be a Star Fox reboot. Free-roaming...
These are predictions again, people.
Free-roaming Mass Effect-style RPG. Bam.
Wait, how are you getting so specific?
Yeah, geez.
Dude, go big or go home.
Wow.
When it comes to E3 predictions, you need to fucking put yourself out.
Go wrong or go home.
Yes. Do you want to say
wrong and home?
You want to say what the name of the main character, what
no.
they look like,
and the title, and the price, and the release date?
I have even
Slippy's
more
ribbit attack.
I have even more ridiculous.
sounds awesome.
More ridiculous specific predictions coming.
All right, okay. Well, before that, do you think Wii U has a Wii U Sports that it comes packed in with?
No.
Not even like an equivalent?
Well, a game that comes with it, yes, but not like
not
in the sports franchise.
Really?
Yeah.
What maybe Target practice?
Maybe golf? Like the more along the lines of the Wii Play stuff.
That's what I would say. I would say those demos and the weird stuff that they showed last E3.
Right.
All the stuff that they were doing as proof of concept stuff, they're not going to just throw it away. They're going to polish it up like they did with the Wii and bundle it with a pack-in. But I do think there will be a couple sports games that would normally go into like, maybe from Ubisoft that will be a part of it.
Yeah.
No. I mean, as part of this collection, it'll be like Wii Play and Wii Sports maybe combined. It'll just be broader.
Yeah, I just don't see the Wii U controller like really lending itself. It's not. You know, with the Wii mode, it was very direct, like you're playing sports. It's like you're really playing sports, but when you've got like a tablet in your hand, it's not really...
No, but remember, that's just one controller. You still have your Wii controllers for the second and third players.
Yeah, maybe.
So if somebody is like, I haven't even thought of an example, but somebody is...
a football coach with the Wii tablet and the four other people are playing football.
Yeah, maybe.
I feel like more than a sports game, a rhythm game might be a better way to introduce the tablet to people. I mean, I have no idea what kind of rhythm game it would.
Well, they had one at last E3, right? They had the one where you moved it up and there was like a pirate ship. Kind of like it was basically like a WarioWare game.
Yeah.
So I guess it would... Well,
I think a rhythm game would be much easier for a person to get used to the tablet, assuming it's someone who's never touched an iPad before and doesn't know how it works. Yeah, a rhythm game would make much more sense.
All three of you that hasn't touched an iPad. I'm sorry.
Yes. So
I have touched an iPad, by the way.
Of course. New Metroid. You think Retro's game's not going to be a Metroid or a Zelda? It's not going to be a franchise. It's going to be something new.
No, I know. Theirs is the Star Fox reboot.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Yes. Miyamoto's got the new one.
Of course.
Star Fox reboot. So like a Star Fox Adventures?
Thinking like Mass Effect style RPGs, dialogue trees, all that stuff.
Wow.
With Star Fox?
That would be a lot of...
Can I respond?
Intergalactic
travel.
That'd
be kind of awesome.
No.
That would be awesome.
My prediction is he is wrong.
A whole planet of you know...
Yeah.
It would be a little...
Animal Crossing?
It would be kind of...
Animal Crossing, yes.
Yes.
Maybe a Smash Brothers. Wii U.
I don't think that's too early for Smash Brothers. I think they'll just be like, please wait a little while longer.
Even like too early for a Smash Brothers.
Even a teaser, you don't think?
No, because they just finished Kid Icarus.
I know, but they got to tease. That's like, I think so big.
We'll just get an apology. I think that's all we'll get.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Animal Crossing, definitely, though.
Yeah, no, I think we're going to get a price for Animal Crossing.
We'd better.
A price, I mean, in a launch date.
Yes. Finally.
Something interesting could happen with your Wii U, 3DS... interoperability, street pass, whatever, with Animal Crossing.
I think they're going to be just like tied. They're going to be like
pace communications,
right?
Actually,
yeah.
With little Animal Crossing,
I can just see like you can carry your tablet around, and that will allow you know your little towns to interact, or you can connect that to your 3DS, walk around.
Dude, think about this fucking $1 billion business.
Nintendo, are you listening?
Nintendo sells pieces of Animal Crossing furniture to make your own little stand-up dollhouse, and that dollhouse can be replicated through NFC in your game.
What? No.
Dude, for little girls? Are you fucking kidding me? What? Are you out
Nintendo
of your mind?
Has been the slowest well, not the slowest, but they have been pretty darn slow, just like every other major hardware manufacturer to embrace the whole free-to-play. I mean, Microsoft started with the microtransactions, but when it comes to like true like free-to-play, like totally monetizing... What's the word?
Monetizing.
That's the one. Thank you.
Hype train!
When it comes to those situations, they've been pretty slow.
Right.
They've already said, you know, it's like, it's $5. That's the bare minimum where you're going to get this much content. There's like all these limits. But like single unit microtransactions and just, you know, throwing in 100 items, 200 items, you just don't see that on major consoles like you do on smartphones or tablet or PC Mac.
Right.
So... Xbox, actually, Microsoft was saying almost, it's maybe over a year ago, was starting to hint at that they were going to potentially start allowing free-to-play. And I think Sony was...
Sony's already got it.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, well, of course, with Vita and...
Samurai and Dragons.
Yeah. So they were talking about it a while ago too. I don't see Nintendo. Was that what you were saying with the Animal
Crossing? No, not free to play, but just you know, in terms of using the NFC to further monetize Animal Crossing.
My one thing about that is I think a Skylanders port would probably be first. I think they would let some other company give it a try.
Oh, dude, this is their technology. This is Nintendo we're talking about.
Right, but I don't think Nintendo's going to go that route. I think they would rather...
You do not know anything about Nintendo, because they are going to be like, this is how you use our technology, and everybody's going to ape that.
I'm not so sure about your little
I played Zelda Four Swords. I didn't like it.
It is something though. I think as a hardware feature that Nintendo will be like, here's how you do it.
Yeah.
Like boom, and then they're also going to be, we're going to make a shitload of money off it first.
Yeah.
And then like it can disseminate down to the third parties.
Exactly.
All right. So right now, at least last E3, it was only one Wii U controller per system. The rest were Wii controllers.
Yeah.
Do we think that changes at all?
I think it'll be two. Maybe they have to be wired.
Does it matter if that changes?
Not for me.
Because people fall on different sides of the fence on that. Some people are like very adamant that...
I don't think it'll change.
Yeah,
really?
And the reason why is they didn't change the Wii name even after all of the negative bashing and criticism that they got. Nintendo rarely ever, through public opinion, changes the core spec of the system they're going to make. Rarely ever.
They go to their own drummer.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, what have they done in the past where people said change this and they actually did? I can't think of any.
Yeah.
They did add the slide pad, the circle pad plus thing, but that wasn't.
But yeah. that's still not added to the.
It wasn't added to the system, of course.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be in the redesign. I don't know.
Yes.
Zelda, you think they show that Zelda again as a real game? I think they have to.
I doubt it.
I don't know if they show Zelda. Maybe as like a. I don't know.
I think it's announced, given a name, and it's probably still whatever,
4 years.
Off. Two, maybe 3 years off. But yeah, I think they show that.
Maybe. It's definitely far off.
I mean, what are your big franchises that you think they're going to show if they're not I mean, they can't all be freaking Star Fox and Miyamoto's new IP.
New Miyamoto IP is going to get enough press as long as it's not.
If they're going to launch, they're going to launch with some standbys, right? And even like Pikmin.
Mario's going to be there.
Okay, so
I think Mario Kart 8.
Ah, that's a good call too.
You think
Mario
so?
Kart 8 would be
Mario
my
Kart
guess.
Early.
It's a great way to show off the internet connections, the connectivity, that sort of thing. They're trying to really push with this system. Mario Kart 8 would be the best way to do it, in my opinion. And that's
okay.
That's like my prediction is that there was a rumor on Hachima. This is just a rumor that you can watch other people playing
games. Yeah, I saw this.
As they're playing it.
Right.
And if that's
like
true,
you can see their bodies naked and
yes.
stuff.
Like a spectator mode for
online. Yeah, okay,
you can see their
screen. Their screen as they're playing. I feel like...
I was going to buy the Wii U, like three of them.
That would be nice, but we'll wait to the hacked version.
Just ignore them.
Yes.
You can just... You don't have to even like acknowledge the jokes. You can just keep
my
going.
My prediction is that that's true, and that you can watch other people's games, like, for example, Mario Kart 8. You could possibly do real-time goal setting. Like, you can tell your friend, oh, they just did a lap in 1 minute 30 seconds. Maybe there's some way you can interact and see if they can reach a goal of 1 minute 20 seconds as you're watching it. And you can do like the old Street Fighter where here comes a new challenger. As you're watching them play, you can send a challenge to them.
Actually, communities kind of work in that sort of way. You can see if somebody's playing, at least in Mario Kart, and then just go into their game whenever you
right.
want, I believe.
Right, but what you can do this time is when it happens, you can pause your game, and then you have the option to immediately suspend your current game and play with them, two, send a message to them saying, you know, wait 5 minutes until I finish, or three, just dismiss the response.
But do you think, so this gets into a larger question about Nintendo Online. Do you think they're going to have all of this functionality? Do you think they're going to...
Immediately, or...
Yeah, I mean,
at this
E3...
They're too protectionism about, like, protecting kids from, you know, avoiding molesters and all that shit.
Is that going to have changed? Is it going to be friend codes?
No.
You don't think so?
I'm pretty sure they already announced that they won't be.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, you think it's going to be single login?
Yeah. No, I think they've already said.
No, I don't think so. They have said... What they have said is that we are going to... Like, we're listening to our partners, and we're going to do something that makes everyone happy. And what I read from that is, whatever EA wants, if EA wants you to log into their thing through the service, I mean, not necessarily like PS2 days where you have to have your fucking Capcom ID.
Right.
Type in, I blame you for that, Ben Judd.
My fault.
In your Capcom password just to get online. I don't think necessarily that, but maybe more like the PS3, and okay, like, this is actually, you know, running through Steam or whatever. It's running through their servers, their service. They control a little bit of the UI and the experience, what it looks like.
I feel like Nintendo is more like Apple's philosophy. They're going to have the complete control, and because they have complete control, they're going to be able to have this integrated system where you don't have to do that. It's just going to be one login. That's what I think.
I can't say much, but I can say this without getting into specifics.
Yes.
Is that it's a known fact that Nintendo, with the Wii U, knew that they were going to have to romance, wine, and die in third-party support. They know of the reputation that if you're a third-party publisher, it's really hard to make a profit on their hardware, that most of the people that buy their hardware play Nintendo games.
Yeah. Right.
So they, from a very early point, I would, you know, more than a year or two ago, they have been trying to approach publishers very actively and get them circumstances, business circumstances where they feel, conditions where they feel comfortable and are willing to roll the bones and take a risk on the Nintendo hardware again. Mm-hmm. So I would not be surprised, and normally I would agree with you, Brendan, mm-hmm. I'd be surprised if this time they really are allowing major publishers like EA, Activision, et cetera, to allow to basically put their system in the Nintendo shell.
More like a PlayStation Network sort
of thing. I think it's good. For me, I feel like it's probably a combination of what Mark and Brendan are saying.
Oh, don't. Okay, that's...
Dude, I'm serious.
Your opinion... Yeah, that's not... That's no fun when you're like, ah, you're both right.
Well, no.
All right.
Gong. E3 High Train! E3 High Train!
Put that time down.
Yeah.
That's what they've been saying. All I'm saying is what Nintendo has been saying, which is that we are listening to what they want, and we are going to provide it.
One of our listeners is going to have to tell, because I'm pretty sure they went out and said that there's going to be a universal login, no friend codes on the Wii U.
That doesn't exclude what I'm saying at all, though.
But you said that it wasn't the case. When you said that there's going to be like one login or whatever.
No, in fact, I said the opposite. I said I don't think that it will be like the PS2.
I smell pay cut.
Well, anyways, yeah.
So, rolling right along. It will be interesting to see what, how much of Nintendo's presentation is online and if they try to convince people. We really get it now.
Yeah.
Right.
I think without question, it's not a pay thing.
No.
I can't imagine it being a pay thing on Nintendo.
No way.
No pay thing.
Which I think will get interesting when we get into Sony, because I think a big thing of Sony thing is going to be you should really start paying for PlayStation Plus.
Yep.
By the way, everyone, we're going down this list that Ryan Payton kind of created.
That's right. So yeah, special thanks to Ryan Payton. It's been added to by like some NeoGAF, and we added to it a bunch ourselves.
There's an entry in here in the Nintendo portion for somebody on stage says, "This time we get online."
That's not going to happen.
I know. I'm predicting between 35 and 45 minutes into the...
You're even giving a time stamp?
Yeah, into the conference, someone will say that.
No one is saying... This time we get online. No one will say like this time, saying like we don't. They will be like, we get it. We get online.
I think this exact phrase will come up.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good.
Is there a mention about Sony having some random person get on stage and create a bunch of internet memes? Because that happens every year.
We call those memes.
Yeah, well, whatever. It's not my language anymore. I've lived in Japan for 10 years.
I think you might have
can't
just,
speak, yeah, speak
you might have just
English.
Started an internet meme.
Yes,
just right now. Ben.
I pronounce everything in katakana now, you bastard.
I think you did.
Okay, no, actually...
It's not milk, it's miruku.
They've already started. Did you see their pre-E3 page with the weird guy standing next to...
Yes. Let's save Sony. Yeah. Let's finish our Nintendo. We're almost there.
Right. Okay.
Any last predictions? What's the... Any overall things for Nintendo? I still haven't heard from you guys, besides Mario, like... You don't think they're going to be like, here are our big gun franchises coming to the Wii U. Bam, 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 bam.
Wait, we all said Mario Kart. I threw out
Mario Kart.
Smash Brothers.
Smash Brothers, you think will be there
Junior,
not for Wii U.
They've announced it for
3DS.
They've announced it for both.
So. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm an idiot.
We threw out Animal Crossing, Zelda.
Zelda, I think, will be there.
Yeah, I think
Animal Crossing, I guess.
Metroid and Zelda.
Metroid after the other M is...
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
They put the kibosh on that
it's
for a while. They're
going
to cool
now.
It down, yep.
Yep, I would agree with that.
One last thing is that I think they're going to update the 3DS to kind of make it more like the Wii U in terms of online, like the Nintendo... online service.
The interface.
I think
so. They're
going
to get rid of friend codes or something.
Yeah, I think they'll
really.
I think they'll update the 3DS.
I can see a new firmware
to do that. Yeah, to make the experience all one
seamless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
That would make a lot of sense.
It makes sense.
It would be a little weird to get rid of what's already.
Well, not completely, but I mean, just parts of it.
Huh. Okay. All right. Let's move on to Sony.
Sony. Yes.
We talked a little bit about. We just mentioned this, but like, it sounds like some of the rumblings that are already coming out are that a big part of this might be. Let me find my notes. The PlayStation Plus.
Yes.
Yes.
And how to get people to pay for it. So people who haven't been following it, their PlayStation Plus content manager tweeted about, by the way, if you don't have a PS Plus subscription, now's the time to get one for real. Just get 3 months if you aren't sure. Trust me. And then the other thing that happened around the same time is that there was a Eurogamer story about Gaikai, which is kind of like on live and is a streaming gaming service.
Dave Perry, right?
Dave Perry, yep. Ex-Shiny guy, Earthworm Jim, Aladdin, what else? MDK. Started this company kind of as an on-live competitor, but you play them through your web browser.
Yeah.
And they have, I think they have like Mass Effect on there as their big game.
There's a lot of games on there.
Anyway, there's been some kind of rumblings that Sony was going to partner with a streaming game service, either for their console, either for PlayStation or for the TV, or who knows, maybe even Vita as well, just for their TVs. It's not exactly clear, but people are kind of putting these two things together. And also the Gaikai guys teased in an email to Eurogamer, some major announcements, quote, are in store for E3 that have the potential to change the future of video games, game consoles, and how we play.
Yeah.
So do people think that this is a thing that Sony announces is a big E3 thing? Is, hey, now your PS3 has all these PC games, all these other games, is streaming. If you get PlayStation Plus, you automatically have a subscription to this other service. Yeah.
It's going to be the Netflix for video games through your PlayStation Plus subscription. At first, it's only going to be first-party games with a short list of third-party games. Works on Vita. And I think that's going to be
I
want to
believe them. I really do.
Yeah. No, that sounds – it would be a fantastic idea. If it works on Vita, that would, I think, boost Vita's sales like crazy.
If they don't, then Sony should just like follow.
How is it going
to
work on Vita?
Yeah.
How's it going to work on Vita?
Have you tried Wi-Fi? Remote play?
No.
On Vita yet?
It doesn't work very well.
No.
It doesn't.
So something that one that I thought
it really doesn't. Yeah. It's not it really doesn't.
Well, I think they'll get it to work.
But it depends on the game and whether the technology is there or not yet. And it depends a little bit on who you ask, because it actually does matter where you're physically located a little bit. But one interesting idea that that some of the commenters on NeoGAF were talking about is, what about, you know, like for demos or older games that have compatibility issues, right? Like PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2 games, whatever, that is a pain in the ass to run your Vita, or PSP games or what have you. If they have this, you know, server with however much horsepower it needs that's just streaming it to your thing, maybe that's an easy way of doing that.
Instantly have every fucking Sony-made game from PS1 to PS3. Right there.
Only works for some genres.
Still, for people who aren't hardcore gamers, dude, that's gold. Jerry Gold.
does it sell to people who are not hardcore gamers? Don't you kind of have to be a hardcore gamer to understand what it is, how it works? It's kind of like, even, you know, it took Netflix a long time to catch on widely. It just seems to me like, it seems to me actually the opposite of what you're saying. At first, it would be hardcore gamers would be the one that's excited.
Because the casual gamers wouldn't delve so far even into the network to know that you can do that.
I don't think that's what they're aiming for. I think they're aiming for hardcore gamers get in there on the ground floor, and then
of course,
eventually it'll just spread out. But I think
there was another story where actually Sony might be buying Gaikai just outright.
Damn.
So
the thing is,
it would be a smart move.
Gaikai doesn't work in Japan, which is a weird kind of. That's
because the name is kind of Japanese. You mean?
Well, I think actually, Gaikai might actually stand for outside connection. It doesn't work in Japan. Sony's Japanese.
Neither does Netflix.
Yeah. Well,
the whole streaming.
Ask TBD, and it does.
Yeah.
The whole streaming online download games thing even hasn't caught on here like it has everywhere else in the world. But this seems like a move towards maybe the future, figuring it out now, including in the next console. Like, to me, I could see it. It would be a cool, interesting step towards the future. I don't personally think it's that exciting now, but I do think it would be Sony getting out ahead of something that could be a potential like future technology.
Everything Mark speaks is true.
Really?
I don't think it's as far off as you think. I think in the next couple of years it's going to be...
I think it's primed for the PlayStation 4. So what they're doing is this: they're using the PlayStation 3 as a testing platform. I think Sony realizes they're a huge multimedia company that not only has games, but they've got music and movies and books and everything. And they're going to turn their device into not just a game machine, but it's going to be a mass market set-top box. Everybody says that phrase, but they're really going to do it because they've got the content behind it to support it. They've learned their lessons from Apple, and they're going to start trying to initiate that momentum for the PlayStation 3, and it's going to then lead seamlessly into the PlayStation 4 once they prove what works and what doesn't.
So I think that's right, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. King of Japan, Ben Judd.
That would be me.
BJ King, also known as.
smack him in the face in 3 seconds.
Do they mention PS4? Mm-hmm. Do they mention anything about the next system?
Nope.
Nothing.
Nope.
Nothing like, and we got some stuff simmering on the stove coming up soon at the end of the conference. Test demo. Let's ask Ben first, and then you get your turn.
I don't think they'll mention it this time. And I think that they have investors to support. Mm-hmm. They know that the Vita is still their new kid on the block, and so they have obligations to support that.
So you think that's a push of their? That's another question. A push on their press conference. It's got to be. This is the Vita's make it or break it year, basically, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So I think they hold it off until Tokyo Game Show if they're going to announce it this year at all. That's what I'd do.
The next
maybe Gamescom.
Okay.
I don't think they mentioned PlayStation 4, but I bet they show quote-unquote next-generation gaming engines.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. Well, the Vita thing, I think, is also a question because there's only so much – you only have so much time at your press conference and booth space and whatever, right? So something's got to give. The Move controller, which I thought would be thrown under the bus last year, I think is finally thrown under the bus this year. If there is a – demo on stage with a Move controller.
Yeah.
I think it is unless it's a huge franchise that just happens to have Move functionality or something totally cool new technology that we haven't seen before, new IP, something crazy, maybe something from Media Molecule or whatever. I think it is a huge waste of time and it is just kind of like throwing good money after bad.
I think they will waste a little time on Move, but I think it'll just be like, hey, here are some games that are already on a Move.
I think I agree that Vita has got to be a push, and I try to think, okay, well, what are the games that they're going to push Vita? I got to hope that they're going to have Call of Duty. They're going to be showing the Call of Duty on Vita thing, pushing that big. God of War for Vita.
There will definitely be a God of War stage show for the Vita.
Is there going to be a Monster Hunter on PS Vita?
No.
Not
likely.
I very much doubt it. Capcom is actually having a show we have here in Japan after E3 where they announced they're going to be talking more about Monster Hunter 4, but it very specifically says the 3DS game Monster Hunter 4.
Yeah,
which
is so not the Vita.
I think Capcom made their choice the same way that they did back when you were there when they moved Resident Evil to the GameCube, right?
Yep.
So for their own reasons, and you probably know better than any of us what those reasons were, but from the outside it was like, wow, okay. This actually makes a little more sense. We've talked about this on the podcast a lot, but if you had to bet on one, 3DS or Vita, a year and a half ago, which would you bet on? I think they made the right choice, and I think it's borne out. Yes. But I do think that they had to make a choice. And if something comes to Vita, I think it's going to be, much later or a port or
a puzzle game.
Maybe one of those.
Puzzle game. No, it's the new Pachinko Monster Hunter. Yeah. That's what's going to come.
So it's Capcom
Summer. That's my prediction.
That's Capcom a real thing. Capcom Summer Jam, June 30th and July 1st. I'm sure we'll either be there or be reporting on it or something, but expect some more Monster Hunter stuff there. So yeah, I don't think. And also, even if they had it, I mean, maybe they would do it at E3 just because they would have to do it, but that's such a Japanese franchise, I don't think they would make that much of a focus of E3.
Agreed.
But what else? Any other Vita things that you guys think that they can do or that they will do to sort of push that?
Okay, here's something crazy. Final Fantasy VII Remake? Vita?
But they already announced the 10 remake. They
there has to be Final Fantasy 7 remake rumor every E3, though.
Yes. No.
Final Fantasy 10 remake will
But that was already announced.
Yeah.
There's a reason Square will not make Final Fantasy 7.
And that is?
I'm not going to tell you, but there is a reason.
Okay. I think there are millions of people out there who really want to know that reason.
There are at least two reasons that I know for sure, and I expect that there's a third reason. But let me just say this, all you people with your hopes up, it's not going to happen.
So one of the reasons that I think Square themselves said was that it would cost too much money. Is that one of your reasons? Because okay, good. I'm very curious.
One of them is probably they can't get Nomura out of his vampire casket.
His vampire
casket. I'm going to have to get him to make it. Too many zippers. Yeah. All right, so maybe a Gran Turismo on Vita? Why not?
Yeah. I think maybe a new Gran Turismo, but...
But that shit never really helped, did it? I mean, it sold pretty well, the Chinatown Wars and whatnot, but...
I don't think people want to play Gran Turismo on a portable.
No.
I think people want to play it in their
house. That is a good point.
What about a GTA on Vita?
GTA?
Yeah, GTA 5.
Vita, boom. Oh, actually, you know what? Sorry, one
boom.
Of my Nintendo... One of my Nintendo predictions was a GTA 5 stage show. Not exclusive to Wii U, but quote-unquote, the best version is on Wii U.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. You're going to say no, Benjet?
Really?
Oh, okay. That's a good... I like that prediction, though. Yeah. That would be like a, hey, we're serious, we're about gamers now.
I'm going on the record. No.
All right, so The Agent, speaking of Rockstar, The Agent, that game, remember that?
Yeah.
Show up at the Sony show? No?
Nah.
Anybody?
Doubt it.
I mean, if they show it, I think the indifference in this room is pretty...
Yeah.
PlayStation All-Stars, please don't tell me that if there's a Killzone or... Resistance game shown at the show for Vita. Just what are you doing?
Yeah,
Sony, please. Media Molecule, I think it would be cool to see whatever they've been working on.
Weren't they working on a Little Big Planet for Vita at some point?
No.
Oh, was that somebody else?
They've been off Little Big Planet for a while. They even announced kind of that we're moving on to other stuff. So I think Sony's got to be relying on them for something. Maybe something that works on Vita and PS3 would be
Sing
cool
Star.
Again.
It's coming back, baby, and I'm first in line.
Let's see, All Stars, PlayStation All Stars will be there. That's a given.
They'll announce third party characters. I bet it's Sonic, Snake.
What about Ken Levine's?
Ken Levine will be a
unlockable character.
What about his Vita BioShock Vita game?
Oh, maybe a side story. I don't know.
But I mean, is that there or is that,
I don't think so. I think they're Irrational was probably full
noses down.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah. I think that was kind of they signed something that was we're probably going to do
something.
Can I speak
about the pink elephant in the room?
Sure.
So obviously you haven't introduced me in this way yet, but I'm an agent and therefore we work with a lot of publishers, developers, free to play, console, etc.
Mobile, so social game, microtransactions, buzzword.
I can't.
Hype train.
I can't commit to certain things. There's some things I can say and some things that I can't because I know to be true and some that I don't. But just merely from an objective perspective, the PS Vita has not sold very well.
Right.
If you are someone in Sony upper management and you've already thrown out the big guns, you had your Uncharted, which is a huge franchise and everybody loves, and that was a launch title. And that helped, obviously, but not enough.
Right.
So do you go to 2K? Do you go to the BioShock team and throw money at them and get them to make a Vita-only game? Do you go to your partners that you've successfully made hit games with and then throw $30 million, $40 million, whatever, to secure Vita PS Vita hits when you know that the cost performance has not been that great so far? Or do you just try other methodology to try and bring your... The ship around and make it more profitable. That's
like
my question.
What else is there besides hit games? Besides making them yourself, what else is there?
Maybe that's the solution. Again, maybe it's trying to make new franchises. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know is that if you were to compare the PlayStation 2 Sony versus the PlayStation 3 Sony, how they interacted and the sort of funding and the money that they were giving out
was
very, very different for obvious reasons.
Sure.
And this is probably just, compared to the PlayStation 3, the PS Vita, it's even worse.
Right.
So are they giving, big support dollars, or are they starting to sort of tone that back and just rely on their own original franchises?
Well, it's kind of a chicken and the egg thing, right? Because they might not if they, you know, spend this money, get a huge franchise, Vita exclusive, sells more Vitas, that game might not even make money, but then they sell more Vitas, that sell more games, that then like they get the kickstarted.
I understand what that is, but I'm saying it's fact that the amount of money that they put into funding third party for PlayStation 2 versus 3 is very different.
So let's actually just quick digression here, because I'm actually interested, Ben, in your perspective as an agent. What can Sony do? We've talked about this on the podcast before. What can Sony do to save the Vita? Straight up, what can Sony do to save the Vita? Obviously, they need great games.
Cut the price.
And that's going to happen.
That's definitely going
to
happen.
And actually, there's kind of evidence to that. Today, Walmart had a advertisement, I believe, that if you buy a Vita now or next week or whatever, there's a $50 rebate.
Interesting.
The issue is that, certainly as Americans, we are all about value. Yep. One of the key reasons the Wii is on top, not only its innovative control system, it's that it hit the right price point. Yes. Never underestimate an American consumer's desire to buy things for what they think are value. Mm. And every time you lower the price, you reach a new strata of consumer.
Right.
And eventually you get to, you know, the Kmart shoppers.
Right.
And then they'll start buying it too. But you're going to need to get to that point. Is $50 enough is the question that I would pose.
Yeah, I wonder if they will announce a price drop at E3, or if they'll announce like kind of like a bundle. Like, okay, buy a Vita and you get two games.
That was my prediction.
Is
it going to be a bundle?
Yeah,
there's going to be a little price drop, but no, I don't think it's going to be $50.
That never works.
It never works, and that's it's not how you get the Kmart shopper. Mm. We have to get to that level of mass market consumer in order for this thing to start to catch fire, and it needs to catch fire.
Yes. Right. Okay, what about David Cage, Mr. Heavy Rain? We haven't heard from him in a while. He's made some rumblings recently that he's like wasn't really happy with how Heavy Rain turned out.
All of it is him and his team. Like
Jason!
They were proud of the game, but at the same time,
Jason,
he was like disappointed in it.
We've actually already used that on the show.
That's
what?
Fine.
Yeah, sorry.
It's oldie but a goodie. What Quantic Dream, what have they been working on?
Probably that 2? Robot thing.
Did
you not see the demo they had of their new engine with the robot girl talking?
Oh, no, I don't think
so. Oh, okay. Well, probably that.
Yeah. Robot Girl.
Yeah.
The series.
There's a million seller.
But isn't that how they initially like started to hype up Heavy Rain, and it was like a girl crying and stuff like that, and ultimately
it
wasn't anything like that in the game?
No, it wasn't. Yeah. But kind of gave you rough idea that that's what they were caring about.
But this one was awfully specific.
Yeah. Okay, well, whatever. Last Guardian, will it be there?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
It's got to be there.
It's got to be there.
It's
obligation. It has to be there.
No.
It will not be.
It won't.
It has to.
They won't. The U.S. office will not allow it not being there.
Yeah, like whatever state it's in, they've got to have something there.
Something may be there.
I don't want to convince you.
Yes.
Because who knows? But I'm
playable?
No way.
Are you thinking playable or not?
In hell.
I'm thinking not playable.
I'm going with playable.
Wow.
I'm putting my cojones
full
on the
Monty.
Table right now.
It should
playable.
Be. It should be playable. It should be playable, but it might not even be there.
Yeah.
And that scares and worries me, but
in my heart, I want it to be there, but it won't be.
I think at most it might appear if they have one of those montage of games upcoming. There might be a flash to that.
Let me put it this way. They need it to be there. Let me put it that way.
Okay, let me put it this way. Let me follow up on that.
Yeah.
They need to be there is from a marketing or a gamer perspective, right?
Yes.
They spent way too much money, time, hype. It's starting to get into like an Okami cycle where it's been at every show. It's starting to, like, it's super hype. They can't really go anywhere from here, right? From the momentum, the PR momentum. Now that, you know, Ueda-san is off or outsourcing, you know, the production of it, ultimately he has less clout, less control.
Right.
Therefore, the mothership, Sony, can make these crucial marketing decisions. And I guarantee you they put pressure on him before. Now that he's more out of the picture than he was before, they're going to make that call. And it's going to be the right call, I hope.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, they pulled out, and it's meh.
Right.
We don't want that to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see when we see it, how it's presented
yeah.
And everything. Speaking of Last of Us, Speaking of Last of Us, right. Last Guardian, Last of Us. Last of Us, I think, has got to be one of their big... That's their, like, Uncharted of this year.
It'll be playable on
big
the show
push.
Floor.
Probably playable, yeah.
Big press conference, playable on the show floor, big deal. Mm-hmm. I think that's, like, their...
What's the developer behind it?
That's Naughty Dog.
Okay.
Yeah, that's that, like, how would you describe
Walking
that?
Dead, the game.
I'd say more like, what was the one that everyone's compared to? Will Smith, I Am Legend.
Oh, I Am Legend.
But
yeah.
So many kind zombies.
Of, but it's
there the vampires.
To be fair, and I said the same thing the first time I saw the first trailer. It's more than that. It's more about like post-apocalyptic survival against other humans, not just kind of the zombie.
But I do think
people.
The zombie thing is going to hurt the game just because a lot of people out there are just like,
well, it's not just zombies. They've released footage of the game where you're fighting against other people who are just trying to survive.
That won't hurt that game. That game, I think, from all indications, is going to.
There's no way that game noise. Will not be.
That,
fucking,
oh, I'm,
looks
that's
really
saying
good.
Pizza will hurt a food menu. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's universally accepted
Brilliant
and love.
Metaphor.
Thank you.
All right, other kind of third-party games we haven't really touched on, but that are... Well, actually, some of these will be in the Microsoft conference. We already know that. I'm assuming Sony is not going to have the big Call of Duty for PS3 because Microsoft has that every single year. They start their press conference with the next Call of Duty game. Should we segue into Microsoft? Do you think they do that again?
I think we're leaving out... at least Kojima comes out during the PlayStation conference and talks about Ogre.
Oh, so do you think that he comes out and talks about that as a PlayStation product?
Yeah.
And not for 360 or just happens to be...
Not for 360, but he chooses Sony to...
PlayStation is going to be the better version because...
Right.
Because what?
Because it's... All of my games have been on Sony hardware and I like my Sony fan. I don't know.
PlayStation 3 Boktai. You heard it here first.
Wow.
I am guessing
we'll probably localize
he
that.
He shows up at some press conference or another. Yeah. And it would make the most sense, I guess, at Sony. I wonder if it would be Project Ogre.
Well, yeah. No, it would be the new Zone of the Enders game that they announced.
He's not really involved in that, though.
I think they will.
That won't be a stage. That's not Zone of the Enders.
Well, maybe not a stage thing, but I think something will be there.
Yeah, well...
A screenshot.
So, yeah, we should talk about that. They just announced Zone of the Enders' Enders project, which it's not even... There's no system announced for it. They showed, like, a piece of art.
It's probably going to be Vita, I bet.
Kojima's a producer.
No comment.
There you go.
Pregnant lack of comment.
Kojima is a producer. What else have they said? They said that it was going to go for a more global audience as opposed to being like very focused on Japanimation, kind of like the past game, but that it wasn't going to be that different.
I'm really shocked that you used the word Japanimation.
They used it in the article.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. Who says that anymore? Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good word. Why not? Anime? What?
Anime is the more common word at this point.
What, you're against the Blockbuster Video section that says Japanimation?
Japanimation was like pre-internet anime.
But you have to admit, Japanimation rolls off the tongue.
It does.
Yes. Japanimation. Anime has fewer syllables.
Any other...
So do I.
Sony predictions?
Let's see. What else? Valve. I think Valve will show Half-Life 3.
What?
At Sony.
What?
At Sony?
Can we fire him?
Didn't they already
listeners?
Have you not seen the Onion Rings, man?
Didn't Valve? No, I have no idea what you're talking
about.
What?
Didn't Valve already say that they're not showing Half-Life 3?
But people say
that was a big just faint, huge
people say
fake
things.
Out. Okay. Yeah. I hope you're right because I want to see some excitement. And
I'm all about making. I don't care
huge.
If this happens or not. I just want to make predictions.
See, that's not how predictions work.
No, that's how they work.
Those are hopes.
When it comes to
and
E3,
dreams.
All that matters is if you're on the hype train or if you're off.
And hype Brennan, train,
Brennan. I think you're off the hype train.
I may be off it.
I think you're off.
But I think you don't understand what the word prediction means.
I think he's fired.
Yeah.
All right. Any other? Other Sony things? Sony predictions?
Let's see. Yeah, I think there's going to be a PS3 and Vita price drop announced. $199 both for the base models.
Whoa.
What?
Same price for both?
Yeah.
That would be a huge...
That would be big.
That would be a big deal.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen.
Okay. And no commitment to like PS Plus subscription or anything? You just $199.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them, same price.
Bam.
Wow.
Is it going to be a bundle, PS3 Vita together?
Maybe. That's not a bad idea.
Active immediately.
$3.99 for both? Okay.
It's not going to happen. I just said that to see if you
would agree.
It could happen. Guys.
All right.
Stop being negative names.
All right, Microsoft. Rounding us out. Microsoft. Now, we know there is going to be, quote-unquote, world premiere.
Yes.
And I think we know this from Jeff Keighley tweeting probably or something.
Yeah,
but
it was that.
World premiere at their press conference of game from Capcom, EA Sports, Harmonix, Square Enix, THQ,
Connect,
and
Ubisoft. Connect.
Square Enix wouldn't do Connect. The other
side. So, back up. You think a big part of Microsoft this year, again, is Connect?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so.
God, I hope not.
Dude, their business is now...
it's not, though.
Yeah. Every Joe.
Ben is shaking his head.
I think we're going to hear more about their next gen, their new system.
Really?
Definitely.
Really?
You've already come out and kind of hinted at 2013.
But everybody...
got to start getting some information out.
Everybody
there
has been saying, like, no Xbox, no Durango at
we'll see.
E3.
We'll see.
Yeah, people have been poo-pooing it, but
that's dude, if that's true...
That would be...
Thank you, Microsoft, for
awesome.
Making E3 exciting, because I don't want to hear about Kinect. I don't want to hear about channels that we can't access
in
America.
Let's just say this.
In Japan, yeah.
If that happens, then it's going to put them again in the same boat of next year E3, them showing it and Sony showing PlayStation 4.
Right.
Yes.
I wonder if there are two versions of... So Microsoft's press conference is first, right?
Yeah.
Monday morning. I wonder if there are two versions of the Sony press conference. One, if Microsoft talks about their next gen. One, if Microsoft doesn't, right? Because you have
right.
to...
I wonder if they if
react
people actually
to that.
Do that. Do
oh,
they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, they get word of what happened just at the last press conference.
Mm.
But usually it's just like little things, whether they address it or not.
I see.
But you never know. I mean,
they have to have spies so that they have that information several hours earlier before the conference. I bet they do.
I know a lot of
really?
Times they
okay.
get the info from the conference.
Really?
The one thing I want out of Microsoft's conference is electronic bibs, like last year.
You're not going to get that ever again.
Oh, okay.
You're not going to get the Kinect.
I just want a normal bib.
Crazy extravaganza.
It could say the King of Japan on it.
I was there wearing one of those bibs, and that's never happening again.
I think one thing Ryan has down here, actually spend time talking about Windows 8. I think they will definitely do that.
Really?
It would make sense.
Yeah. I think because they're hedging a lot on Windows 8. It's part of their mobile strategy. It is their mobile
so
strategy.
You think they push the whole three-screen thing?
I think so.
PC,
I think so.
Xbox. Win mobile phone.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good call.
Interesting. What would be the game to show that kind of feature? Do you think they have some big
the
ass...
The next Halo.
Yeah?
Yeah.
If Halo uses...
Halo 4?
Like a Win 8 and a Win phone sort of like, you know, meta game thing, then... That's super, super smart strategy.
That would be interesting.
That would be
They have
awesome.
Like a little sizzle video where it's like, hey man, I'm just getting off at work now. I'll see you online later. And then he
it's
checks
time to
and
slay
sees,
the dragon.
And then he looks and sees like, oh, I'm going to set my armor up while
yeah.
that bus
yeah.
on the way
that's
home.
How,
and
that's
then,
how they take the wind out of the Wii U sales
yeah.
is by
yeah.
showing somebody playing on a Win 8 tablet, a crucial part of Halo, and just loving the crap out of it.
The only problem with this is that people hate Windows 8.
Yeah.
How do people hate it already?
Why?
Because there was a preview out already, and it just, like, it got panned worse than Vista got panned. Not Vita, Vista got panned.
Right.
Yeah. People hate it.
So
what do they hate?
Preview version.
They hate how they're trying to ham-fist a tablet UI into a PC operating system, and it just doesn't work
people
right.
People just don't like change.
I don't think that's it. I think it's just
like
really badly
Nvidia.
Designed.
They already build their chips so that they can go in either a PC or into a tablet. It's like one standard uniform chip spec now.
Right, but that's not like a user.
That's
interface.
The future.
It may be the,
it's
future,
the future,
but right now it's not. It's not marrying
Apple,
the two. It's like
Apple's
putting them both together in the same room.
Doing that though, right? In little steps. Apple's been doing
Apple's
that.
Doing it right, but I think Windows 8 and people
slowly, yeah.
people are complaining that Windows 8 doesn't do it right.
Okay, but so that is interesting. If they can have a big, it would be interesting if it was Halo. I would have sworn that the Bungie IP, which we found out about through
right.
the Infinity Ward lawsuit legal
Destiny.
Documents, is a an Xbox time exclusive. I think.
Yeah, I think that was what part of the terms, though, right? They
right.
were getting first refusal or whatever.
That no, well, that's two, those are two different things.
Oh, really?
Right,
okay.
First refusal and like time exclusive, but. I would have said they're going to either start with that and end with Halo or vice versa. Now, Bungie has come out and said that they're not officially showing anything at the E3, which is surprising because also in those documents it said 2013 for their first game.
Durango.
Seems like they got to start doing something. But anyway, that I would have said for the three screen thing would have been like an interesting thing. If it's an MMO kind of shooter with a... The world that just, what do you call that world? It's always there.
Earth?
Oh. No. Persistent.
There you go. Persistent with a persistent world shooter. Like Dust. Earth. Thank you, JJ.
Earth world
Thanks.
Feature.
Yeah, I couldn't come up with Earth.
Yeah, well, the world is always
those
there.
Five I've been sniffing glue for
it's
a while.
It's the two vowels that throw me. Two vowels right in a row.
You go back to it.
What's that planet we're on again?
Like Dust 514, you mean? The Sony game that they were probably
I think Resident Evil 6 makes a showing at the Microsoft conference.
Sure.
And I think
that's
so.
The Capcom announced game, I bet.
Yeah.
Really? Well, I can't say for sure.
There was
I'm
a
guessing.
Thing there was a thing Capcom had a title called Remember Me.
So here's the thing with the language world premiere, I don't know if that's supposed to imply that it's a game that's never been seen before,
yeah.
But it might imply just that it's kind of like new footage or something.
Or playable.
Right.
But I think they have to do something about the fact that they're getting the demo first.
Yeah.
They're going to like, you know, beat the drum about that for a little bit. Capcom's got to get on stage there for that.
Who's
going
to get on stage?
Who from Capcom? I don't know. Kobayashi? Who would get up there to rep Resident Evil? You know better than any of us.
Okay.
I don't know.
No comment.
But yeah, I think they're going to show their new, whatever that new IP is. Maybe it's the one that got registered.
Yeah.
EA Sports, maybe EA Show Madden?
Yeah.
Have they shown Madden?
Sure. They have shown Madden 13.
Oh, they have?
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe a... I don't know, some snowboarding.
It's looking
yeah, I don't know.
Mark McDonald doesn't hide his lack of excitement towards EA Sports games.
Do not care. Harmonix, Dance Central 3, I hope not. I want to see a new IP. Probably Kinect. That's
just,
okay.
I'm just imagining the embarrassing... That was really loud, by the way. Thank you. Embarrassing stage performances of people dancing.
Harmonix does fine. They do okay. Mm. They do okay stage presentations. Not like... Come on. Give them their props.
So,
Square Enix. That could be any of a number of things.
Wouldn't that be just Assassin's Creed 3?
I think it's going to... No. That's only in Japan. Final Fantasy 13 2 for Xbox is what it's going to be.
Really? Yeah. What? Why would they... What? Why? That's not... Well, first of all, that's not world premiere.
It is a world premiere because it's not out on Xbox in America, right?
But that would excite nobody.
Dude, yeah. This is Japan. They are, if they don't like you, they'll just throw you a bone like fucking Final Fantasy 13 2.
Yeah, but Microsoft, this is like a plum. To give somebody time at your stage show is a huge deal. They're not going to do it for some like, oh yeah, that like sequel to that game that nobody bought and nobody cares about and that's out already in Japan.
Yeah. We'll see.
And that whatever.
I'm trying to scratch my head and think about what it could be.
Yeah.
Probably not Final Fantasy XIV.
Nothing is coming to mind.
Why would it be 14? Final Fantasy XIV? The game is doing terribly.
No, that's what I said. That's not going
what
to
if
be.
But
they have the new version of Final Fantasy XIV, and they've got to unveil it at some point.
Yes, maybe it's the Versus. You know, maybe it's a new
Angle
offshoot.
Versus.
It's awesome.
Deus Ex. What about if it's something more for the American market? Deus Ex 2.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it is.
That could
too
quick,
actually,
too soon.
Tomb Raider, right? Well, it's Tomb Raider.
Could be Tomb Raider.
I think it's probably Tomb Raider.
Again, that we don't know exactly. By world premiere, I think they mean never been seen before.
Then it wouldn't be
Tomb Raider. I do think Tomb Raider is going to be
a big push
at the show.
You think that's what world premiere
means?
That's
what it
means
in this context.
We don't know what it means.
I think that's how he's using it. I'm pretty sure that's how it means.
On 8-4 play, where we ask the question, what is a world premiere?
You mean it premieres first anywhere in the world at E3?
Yes.
Yes.
Then therefore, I think your logic about Final Fantasy 13 2 is flawed.
But your bad guess about Final Fantasy 13 2 is even worse.
That is something that nobody knows and does not exist currently.
Yes, but the game itself.
All right, gong.
Not,
changing subject.
Yeah.
Stop talking about it. Rare. What the hell have they been doing?
New Banjo Kazooie.
No. Yeah, that's not happening.
It's not happening.
It's going to
connect.
I don't think it's going to happen. They're going to like
bullshit tobogganing adventure
crap.
That's it. Yeah, canoeing. No.
Tell us how you really feel about Rare, Mark.
Goodbye, Rare.
So what if Rare teamed up with Electronic Arts to make a sports game? How would that
God.
Be? Like,
oh,
my dream. Would that not be your dream game?
My dream come true.
Also,
another dream come true, Skyrim DLC. I think they have to
They'll say something about that.
They'll say it.
I like
it'll have a subtitle named Job.
No, it does. It's Dawn Guard.
It's not Skyrim Job?
Mm-mm.
I like Ryan.
Just move on.
Ryan wrote Phil Harrison on stage. I think that'll happen.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
yeah. I forgot that.
Maybe he'll have a new game.
We missed that tall British man.
He will have a new game.
Something about Phil Harrison. Oh, really? You think so?
I think so.
Something about Phil Harrison. He said a long time ago, it was like 2006, maybe. He wouldn't be surprised if PlayStation 3 was the last Sony console to have a physical disc drive on it. Mm. And this is when he was like, what was he, head of third party or something?
Yeah.
Everybody was like, oh, wow, really? And kind of everybody was also like, no, it's way too soon. And a story came out in the Wall Street Journal, I think today or yesterday, saying that Sony actually was seriously considering a download-only system as the successor to PlayStation 3.
Right. And why did they stop?
Because PSP Go.
No.
Well, but PSP Go, digital sales, and PS Vita digital sales, if you look at them comparatively to their software package brethren,
it's just not there yet.
Not good.
It's just not there yet. We're not there yet. Everybody kind of acknowledges it's inevitable. It's just a matter of when. But this next system is definitely not it. I'd be surprised if even the system after.
No.
That's
why they're taking their hints from Apple, I think. I think they're taking a look at them and like, this is how we ramp up into using our robust content and then getting people onto that platform.
If Steambox takes off, then that'll set the stage for this.
So we've mentioned Apple a couple of times. Let's talk about this real fast.
The real elephant in the room.
Segue. So Tim Cook, there was an interview with him, D10 interview.
Yeah, it's on the website.
And they asked him about the gaming space, and he replied that gaming has evolved. More people play on portable devices. Where we might go in the future, we'll see. Customers love games. I'm not interested in being in the console business in what is thought of as traditional gaming. Apple is a big player today, and things in the future will only make that bigger. I think it could be interesting, Cook said, when asked about the TV specifically. So what does this mean for your TV? I think it could be interesting.
Yeah. I think this is where John comes in and is like, man, I just, you know.
It's going to destroy everything.
The world's going to end.
If it's packed with a controller, it's over. It's over, man. Yeah. Ben, does the Apple TV come with a controller or not?
Not that I know of, no.
Hmm. Oh. Do you know something about the Apple TV?
I don't, but I mean, obviously... Everybody, and this includes Grey DNA, all the major social publishers, have been trying to get their content paired up with as pack-ins to Samsung TVs, to Sony, to Panasonic TVs.
Interesting.
That content, I mean, you can already rent movies, you can already look at 3D stuff, schedule programs you want to watch, etc. More robust features are coming to TVs very soon.
Right.
And I think that the one thing that electronics manufacturers have learned is that if Apple starts giving hints of the direction they're going to go, you need to start going in that direction sooner than anybody else, or you're not going to be able to hang with them. And they learned the lesson with the tablets. I think if Apple really is going in the TV market, and they're going to be providing, hey, you buy an app, and it goes on your iPhone, it goes on your tablet, it goes on your TV, because all the TV really is just a larger display,
right.
a more beautiful display, then we need to be able to do that too. And then it comes about not the device that you're consuming your content on, but about what is the content. Content will be king in the future, mark my words.
But Ben, does Apple not say, okay, well, we already have this TV, we already have all these apps that sell millions on our other iOS devices. Do we not include an interface for people to play those kind
a
of
controller?
Devices? Or is it your iPhone or a tablet already?
I think that's going to be the more likely options. You use your iPhone to interact with your TV to play that.
Yeah.
I think they continually stay with the touch controls.
But you think they see that, like, oh, if all we do is throw in a Bluetooth controller, every computer game, now we don't have to do anything.
They're already available
for Mac
they
OS.
They have been able to do that forever and have never emphasized it. So again, I think by him emphasizing, I don't want to get into the console business, I think that's what that means.
Yeah.
I think they're going to approach it in a different way.
But he even used the word traditional console.
Yeah. Right, and I think that's
packed
what that means.
Part
that's
of the TV is not traditional console business, right?
But I
no,
think
traditional.
It symbolizes the controller.
Yeah, that's where the problem is.
Okay, well, back to Microsoft then. That's our our annual, weekly Apple digression. Price drop? Probably not. I mean, they just...
No, I think there will be a $2.99 Kinect bundle.
Okay.
A Kinect bundle.
Wait, what does it cost now?
$3.99.
Really?
Yeah.
God, why do people buy that?
It'll cost that much?
Yep.
Why in this economy? Buy that?
Wow. I can't believe it still costs that much. Yeah. Other interesting stuff. Is Notch anywhere at E3 showing his stuff on stage anywhere? Being like, we're working with this so-and-so.
They're like moving to a new office next week, I think.
Did he say Notch?
Yeah, Notch.
Of Minecraft guy.
Yes. Wait, that
there
notch.
Are other notches?
That notch.
Like the notch in
not
this
like
table?
Not like the notch on your bed.
I was talking about my pants. Pant notch.
So, Gears of War, anything?
No, I think that ship has sailed. I think probably the only thing you're going to hear out of Epic this year is Unreal Engine 4. We got the shit.
We got
But they need to show something in order to prove they have the shit.
They have a 30-minute
more
game trailer to show.
They need games that are using that are going to be announced very
well,
soon.
Well, that's we gotta if they show if someone shows next gen, then yes, they'll have something. But I don't think there's gonna be any
Fortnite. You don't think Fortnite shows up anywhere? I could see Fortnite showing up, especially at the only Epic's next amazing rip-off of Minecraft.
Oh yeah, I guess that's it. Yeah, they'll have that.
You think so?
Probably.
At Microsoft?
Yeah.
All right, and what about, I guess, big third-party games, Castlevania, Lords of Shadow 2.
Yep.
Is that a big third-party game?
Well, it's a third-party game. Dishonored might be a big push. Bioshock, of course. I wouldn't be surprised to see Bioshock up on somebody's stage show.
Yeah,
it'll be depending on who they can get. Bioshock Infinite, Tomb Raider. We talked about Splinter Cell. I could see a Splinter Cell be the Ubisoft franchise and the Microsoft Splinter Cell.
Maybe that's the Wii U. Their big push for Wii U is Splinter Cell.
Dead Space 3 is going to be at E3, I'm sure, in some respect. It looks kind of like it's burrowing out.
Bro space.
there's like, it looks like
Bros in Space.
It looks like it's going into Resident Evil 5 territory, where it's like not so scary co-op all the way through. There's like some pictures that looked like it had dual wielding.
There was like an animated gif of a guy punching a boulder.
there's beards. There's beards in it. Beards are confirmed.
Thank you, beards.
Crazy buttocks on a train.
Yeah.
And Splinter Cell. The people are talking about the name, like a name leaked out. Maybe some Splinter Cell Blacklist. I think that's about right.
Who's the company that made Infamous, real quick?
Infamous me. Sucker Punch.
Thank
Sucker Punch.
You. And didn't they buy them?
Who, Sony?
Sony.
Yeah.
So they technically could announce something.
They were that's a good point, because I think they were actually teasing something very recently.
I was going to say, I would not be surprised if they pull out something, whether it's PS Vita or...
That'd be interesting. It hasn't been that long since Infamous 2,
About
right?
a year.
Came out last fall, right?
Yeah.
Unannounced Star Wars game apparently is going to be on the GT special, which actually will have already aired by the time you probably hear this.
Yeah,
it's just going to be the dancing section of the Kinect game, I think.
Made into a full complete game. Complete is a relative term.
But like, seriously, Star Wars, does anybody care about Star Wars anymore?
No.
Well,
I think only George Lucas.
Yeah, people do.
Really?
You do not. Yes, people do. Millions of people do. Believe it or not,
I will never show my kids Star Wars.
Good for you. You should not. That is the correct answer. So cleaning up little odds and ends. Square Enix announced Final Fantasy Dimensions for iOS. Talk about being in a whole new world.
It's
going to
be like an All Stars RPG, I think.
Well, because it's called Dimensions, so I'm thinking it's going to be like you said. It's going to be an All Stars. It's going to be all of the Final Fantasy characters back in one.
RPG
in one RPG probably because
really?
They already announced that there's a class system and jobs and stuff like that, so it has to be an RPG. And it's the 25th anniversary game.
I guess an RPG would work fine on a iOS device.
They've released Final Fantasy.
They've done
before.
A really shitty job of it though.
It's coming out this summer. That's all we know. That's all we need to know. Yakuza 5.
Jeez, that's a lot of games in a very short span.
Ooh, Yakuza?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But that's actually not even the fifth game. It's the seventh.
Right, because they have the sideline series. So, five cities. Sapporo, Tokyo, Nagoya, Osaka, Ben, your favorite hometown.
I'm going to go over there and I'm going to arm wrestle him.
And Fukuoka.
For Americans.
Fukuoka.
Who, Nagoshi?
Yeah. Do you know his bodyguards?
He has bodyguards?
Maybe it was Itagaki. I always get this too confused. They both have this like huge...
You can see how I get confused.
No, I think it was Itagaki, maybe. His bodyguards at E3 like pushed me off to the side. I got blasted in the air. Wow. It was pretty effed up. I was working at the Capcom booth, right? Doing my job.
Yeah.
You know, I'm too old for this shit. But I was doing my job, and all of a sudden, here comes Itagaki with these two like very, very large, like twice my width.
Yeah,
African-American bodyguards, you know, one punch in my head and instant death sort of guys. And they're just like, you know, I kind of tried to step out of the way, but these are very wide human beings we're talking about. And they shouldered me, and I literally, like, got air. And I'm just like, wait a second. This is me working, doing my job. And, you know, I'm not a scrawny person, but still, that's the sort of authority I think. He probably told them, shoulder block people that get within 16 feet of me or something.
Show force.
Like
they have to do it. You know, it's like a prison just to show before he walks in and negotiates. So Yakuza 5... / person who fulfills dreams.
I think that's a poor translation, Anoops.
It's probably
like dream makers. Mm-hmm. Is probably what you would.
Okay, whatever. Who cares? I mean, not who cares about Yakuza 5. Yes. Who cares about the Anoops translation of the subtitle?
We love you, Anoops.
Five characters, five cities, big number five. When is it coming out? It's in the new Famitsu. We don't have a date yet, but
yeah,
there's a new November
engine. New engine.
Right. No, as detailed in November. Sorry. So new engine. Yeah, and so the characters look a little bit better.
Yeah,
I mean a little bit better.
Hopefully they put in new animations because they've been the same since the PS2.
I wonder if it'll be at E3. Could be.
Mm-hmm. Probably not.
Might be. Shin Megami Tensei, Brandon, favorite.
Orgasm.
Shin Megami Tensei 4. You are a fan.
I love anything Atlas does.
I did not know that. I would love to work with them.
They just turn me away at the door.
Well, maybe they listen to our podcast and they'll hear this.
Maybe just show them your
Atlas. Work with me. I will make you lots of money naked with bananas.
You hear about this? How it's for 3DS?
Yes,
that's all that's been really announced. There's two images. One which looks kind of medieval, almost them like two characters overlooking a city, and they have like a sword and cape.
D. Charlie made a good point that it looks very Tactics Ogre.
It does.
Yeah. And then the other image is like downtown.
It's Ginza.
All in destroyed.
Well, that's
Tokyo jungle style.
That's Shin Megami Tensei. For me. Tokyo is always destroyed, but it wouldn't be too out of the bounds of reality to have a strategy game, considering they did it with Devil Survivor twice.
Could happen.
Yeah, so that's not totally out.
The second they took the Persona franchise into a fighting game, I literally jizzed in my pants. So,
seriously?
You know, they're obviously being very open-minded and creative about where they're going to take this franchise.
But I think this is, since it's a numbered game, I think they're going to probably stay close to what people like.
It's going to be an RPG, but that doesn't mean the RPG doesn't have tactical elements in it and something like that.
Maybe. Have they ever done that with the previous Megami Tensei games?
Not with the numbered games, I don't think.
I bet you they stick pretty close.
I think it's going to be like a semi first person
time travel.
I don't know. I think this image,
swords and
like
capes.
My guess is that it's like so far in the future that people have, you know, the few
They've
people that are
to,
left have built cities outside of, or like little areas outside
right.
of the
I'm
going
to go to the past. You choose the future.
Okay.
If I'm right, I get to smash
I definitely
a
think
wine
gonna,
bottle over
they're
your head.
Implement, I think they're going to implement something persona related into the systems. They're not going to change. They're not going to make it like Persona.
You can fall in love 3. With the demons that you tame.
So you probably can.
I've seen JJ's sexual persona.
Yeah.
Ben, you are actually excited about that fighting game. What is it called?
Yes.
It's going to be at E3.
No, that's the remake.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It's the Mayonaka.
Showtime
or midnight something
arena.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, there it is.
Midnight. It just came
midnight
out. Just
Battle
came,
Carnival.
Just
or something
came out
like
in the arcades here. I haven't played it yet.
That's right. So yeah, you'll have to play that and come back and check it out. You liked it at TGS though, right?
I liked it, but unfortunately, I got placed by this girl because everyone, when you win, you just stay at the console.
Yeah.
I got paired up with this girl who hadn't lost in like 10 rounds, and she just crushed.
She
just destroyed
doing.
Me.
Yeah. So you only got a little taste.
Yeah.
So, Epic Games versus Silicon Knights. Ben Judd has not heard this news yet. This is hot off the wire.
Tell me, I want to know. This affects your gaming industry, people.
It does.
As what's his name, Dennis Dyack's personal biographer, Mark. How do you feel about the story?
There's no way they won.
Who?
Silicon Knights.
You are correct.
The only reason I say that is because Dennis Dyack just he doesn't have the emotional control to keep his cards, his hand close to his chest. And so just watching him, you know, go batshit insane on the websites was a huge black mark against him.
Yeah. So, and from all indications, I mean, it was kind of ridiculous. I mean, prior to this, a judge had set, if Silicon Knights won, the amount of money that they would have been entitled to was $1.
And
Are you serious? Yes. Yeah. A judge set it at $1 because he was fed up with their, I think they had missed like some deadlines as far as when they were, so they came up with their own analyst who said that what they lost from Too Human that they would have made had, you know, the Unreal Engine
at 3 least 8 Metacritic points
been what it was. It was 58 million from lost royalties, publisher bonuses, and profits from future projects. So the judge is like, this is ridiculous. This math is not based on anything. So judge throws it out. And I think it was waiting for a real estimate, and one never came. And so he said, okay, you know what? I'm tired of waiting for you. $1. And they could have appealed it if they would have won, but they didn't. And in fact, the judge found...
But just let me interject for one second.
Yep.
That is stupid. That is asinine. You know, I can see the humor, and it's funny, and I'm sure the judge was fed up. But one man, a judge, having the power to, whether it's 58 million or whether it's 8 million or whatever, to just as almost like as a punishment to slap somebody in the wrist and say, oh, you didn't do this, so I'm going to make it $1.
Yeah.
That's not a very good
judge. Well, if they're not providing numbers, then.
So exactly. So we don't know, and we can't say definitively, but the reason given was that they were missing these deadlines. So it was like, okay, the trial is going to go on. We're going to set it at $1. And then now to punish you for having screwed up all this stuff up until now, you're going to have to appeal to get your real value after the fact if you win the case. But now it's only set at $1. That's how screwed up. I take that as an indication not of the judge's hubris, which it could be, but as how bad they were screwing up in their just going through the legal process. Mm. You know what I mean? You have to file things by date and set it up. Anyway.
It's a big deal.
They're Canadians.
Anyway,
we got two people.
Poutine is friggin' delicious. That's all I can say.
I gotta try it.
By the way, I fucking love that picture that they have.
I know. I kept it. I erased it and then I put it back just because it's so
Dennis
perfect.
Dyack
it's
a and picture. The two-human,
it's just it's the real two-human guy.
Yeah.
It's just the actual picture of the two-human guy looking so very concerned. So anyway, jury found for Epic on all counts, and that's everything. So Epic gets awarded damages because they countersued, saying that Silicon Knights breached
$1?
No, the Unreal Engine license agreement, misappropriated Epic's trade secrets, and infringed upon Epic's copyrights in the code. Epic gets $4.45 million plus is entitled to their full. They can request reimbursement for their legal fees. $4.5 million, a lot of money for Silicon Knights.
Did they also get the two-human franchise? That's what I'm most concerned about.
Do they want that?
Yeah.
That's the $1 thing.
Yeah, nobody wants
two-human.
That's the $1 thing.
That's a lot of copies of Eternal Darkness 2.
Yeah.
That's a lot of copies of Eternal Darkness 2. To me, I don't know what they got in the bank. To me, this is like trouble for Silicon Knights. Like
that could bankrupt the company.
Yeah, easily. Yeah. Especially a company.
You saw
that
what happened with THQ.
Yeah.
I thought they had more money than they did, and something like that ruined them. You know, a small publisher developer. I mean, sorry. Could
And I mean, we've seen a lot of developers get screwed over on one project or two projects,
and that's it.
And that's it. They're gone.
It only takes one.
The Kingdoms of Amalur crap.
Crazy song and dance. But like Free Radical, for example, like made a lot of hit games. Silicon Knights has not.
Factor 5, baby.
Yep, Factor 5 is another good
one.
What was the company you worked with on the Bionic Commando?
Oh, yeah. Those of course, too. Grin.
It wasn't Bionic Commando that did the men, though.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah. No, but it was another story where it was like this company was getting really big.
I wasn't implying that, Ben, by the way.
Yeah. It's all your fault,
Ben. I never did any companies in. I always paid them on time.
Point is, Silicon Knights has not had what you would call a hit. Period. Eternal Darkness is probably as close as they came, but that was a Nintendo product.
Legacy of Kain-ish.
But the first one is not really, I think, what you'd consider like a major hit, and even a very good game. And that was a long time ago, so they have not had a game, period, in a while.
I'm gonna smack him in the face.
A couple years, a few years, and much less not had a hit. And I think they had like a game going with Sega that might have gotten canceled. Yeah. And I this could be really bad, especially if you were if they were counting on this money. And not only are they not getting the money, but they have to pay like $5 million.
Can I say
not good?
I'm gonna say pose one question. So obviously, Dennis Dak, very high profile person in the news.
Yeah,
partially for this.
Partially for bringing like books onto podcasts and.
But very outspoken. Very outspoken nonetheless.
Yes.
How many people in the gaming industry who were outspoken or famous have disappeared that we can name? So just go around the table.
Okay.
Let's go around the table and see how long we can keep this going. Fuck you, that's going to be mine. All right, you took Okamoto. Go ahead.
Okamoto, former Capcom.
Former Capcom.
President.
Head of R&D.
Ono?
Ono is still at Capcom.
Yeah, but when was the last time you heard after he...
Actually, I heard from him
down
just recently.
Yes. Came down with a sickness.
Sick or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it. That's still not him committing suicide.
He's getting yokoid. Gunpei yokoi.
That was who I was going to use. Damn it.
No, that's different, though.
But that's different. If you're actually dead, you can't come back.
Okay.
Can Kutaragi?
Kutaragi.
Yes.
Okay. Yu Suzuki would be the second version.
Yu Suzuki also gone? You got to name one now?
Yu Suzuki, that's a pretty good one.
That's why whenever you see him in a picture or an article, he looks like really depressed.
Well, the thing is that the whole Japanese methodology of how they would produce a game is they will get a producer and he will get FaceTime and do interviews. And so you have a lot more high-profile people in Japan over the last 25, 30 years than you have in the U.S. or in Europe, I think. And that's why we're all naming Japanese people at this point in time.
That's a good point.
But, will Dennis Dak also, if this happens, will he fade away or do we think he'll be back? I think Dave Perry, came back. He's back.
That is true. Dave Perry did what? Dave Perry did disappear for a while. Who was the guy? Is that Dave Perry, the guy who did the Oddworld games?
No, you're thinking of Lorne Lanning.
Lanning, that's right.
Is another one.
Yeah, you're right. He's gone.
That happened too. I mean, there's probably more that we just don't even think of because they did fade away.
I don't think Dennis Dak will ever let himself disappear.
What has he said in the last, 2 years?
Well, he hasn't been able to because of the lawsuit, but now that it's over.
Oh, wow. Yeah, maybe we'll get more, prime Dennis Dyack quotes.
Dude, I want to go back and listen.
Let's get him on the podcast.
Yes. I want to go back and listen to that podcast where he came on and just, debated crazy shit.
The funny thing
Forum theology. Yeah. It's just
the funny thing about that podcast, at least the original one, was it was basically a debate about whether or not you judge a game from its showing at E3. And I think so much has changed in the 5 years since that happened that it's almost not even a question now. Almost any preview you read, it was actually a thing back then, whether when you wrote the preview, whether if you said actually things that might be negative about the game or things that might be wrong with the game or whatever. But now it's almost just like a matter of course. Like, people just actually say their opinions. Like, yeah, this looked kind of rough.
Yeah.
This looked good. This looked not. This would whatever. That's one thing I was thinking about recently when this news came out.
Right.
Just like, wow, a lot has changed in that time. It's just completely a given now. And I think rightly so. Like, that's the reason you're showing it.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be perfect. Of course, there's some things people will forgive, but there's other things.
But you've got to make it to be perfect. Like, you can't, set something out into the world and be like, well, guys, we're in the middle.
My body is perfect.
Yeah.
It's got to be there.
Okay.
What if Dennis Dyack spoke like the short midget speaking backwards in Twin Peaks episode 3.
All right,
that's
gone.
All I have to say.
Changing subject. Yeah. What do we got? What do we got left? Unreal Engine 4. Speaking of Epic, is
huge.
Going to be shown.
Huge.
It's going to be huge. Ben Judd, huge. You heard it here first.
The fact that they've won has made them even more powerful.
Yeah.
And I
more
think
powerful than you can imagine.
More powerful than you can imagine. I think ultimately you're going to see more and more hardware manufacturers getting behind them too.
Mm.
More
support. What do you think CryEngine versus Unreal 4?
Well, CryEngine is always going to try and undercut or underbid Unreal Engine 4. Yeah. I'm more interested in seeing what's going to happen with Unreal Engine in the mobile space and in the browser space.
Mm.
Because that's the future. You can say what you want about your consoles, but the future is going to be
some more Infinity Blades. Like 6 years ago, people were like, mobile, and now they're doing it again.
Yeah, I think you have profit statements
to back that up now.
Now it's actually probably true.
All right. Steering it back into Unreal Engine. So Unreal Engine 4, it was shown off behind closed doors at GDC. It's going to be that demo and more shown, I guess, on GTTV, interactive prototypes. One interesting part that actually people were didn't come out of this as new news, but people were reminded of, and I think everybody kind of missed it,
yeah,
is that Mike Capps, who is high up at Epic, I don't know his exact title, if he's like CFO or like technology chief or whatever. Anyway, at GDC, told Jeff Keighley that it wouldn't be Unreal Engine 4 on Wii U. It would be Unreal Engine 3. Epic came back and clarified after this kind of blew up and said, like, hey, we have yet to confirm which platforms Unreal Engine 4 will be compatible with other than PC.
Right.
To kind of, like, obfuscate
disclaimer.
It again.
Disclaimer.
But, yeah. But that might say something about Wii U's horsepower.
Yeah. And
I don't know.
That's concerning.
Like, I think, you know.
But is that a surprise? Because isn't what we're expecting of Wii U that Wii U is to this generation as Wii was to the previous, you know, GameCube generation, in that it basic development, like, you have your game that you made for PS3 or Xbox 360 and you can make it a little bit better on Wii U. Not that it's going to take the same game that you're making on Xbox whatever 720 and PlayStation 4, right? That's
with
not what
the,
we're
with
expecting.
The, with a controller like that.
Yeah.
This is just logistics. This is just common sense. With a controller like that, there's no way they're going to be able to put in, you know, specs and a computer board and a video board that's going to be like 8 times what it was before. So it'll be like 1.5 times or 2.0 times stronger than a PlayStation 3.
Just from cost
just
perspective.
Just from cost alone is what it's got to be.
Yeah. And they're coming out, remember, they're coming out this year. They're not coming out next year or the year after.
Still,
they're
that's 6 years away from the original Xbox 360.
They're, coming in a really bad
there's
time.
No way, but there's no way
the
that
the Wii
get
was 5 years after.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I don't think it's going to be exactly the same situation as the Wii. I think with Unreal Engine 4, like, there's been a lot of rumors and stuff about people. I think even people from Epic saying that, like, they've been trying to get Microsoft and Sony to up the specs on their current consoles because they're just not powerful enough for Unreal Engine 4.
Mm.
And I think that's... I will say, I think that you will see part of the Wii U's announcement will be a lot of existing or games that are coming to 360 and PS3 that are just also coming to Wii U, or that are coming like now Wii U enhanced versions that came out a year ago or two, but are now actually like
Resident Evil 4
ports but enhanced.
No, Resident Evil 4 on GameCube then came out on PlayStation 2. It was enhanced just a little bit.
Yes.
I think
you're right about that, and I think the question of the Wii U's power will definitely not be answered at E3. I think people are it's still going to be up in
it's got to be answered at E3, dude. It comes out in a few months
because people will look at it. I just don't think it will, because I don't think Nintendo has the technology chops to really blow people
fired
away. And I don't think third parties are going to be putting effort in any sort of new game that will take advantage of
Wii U. Well,
it's
going to be, as much as any first launch titles are an indication of that hardware's power, it's going to be that.
Well,
but
no,
it's going to
think
be...
Of the, dude, when the Xbox 360 came out, it was none of those games were indicative of the 360's power. Do you remember seeing Tony Hawk?
JJ.
Oh.
No launch game is an indication of that system's ultimate power, but it is an indication of that system, right?
It's the starting point.
Okay, this is what the starting point was.
But the starting point for a lot of those 360 games was, it's pretty much the same as the PS2. Tony Hawk was the
upgraded
PS2 game.
This is,
anyway. I'm just saying, the question of the Wii U's power will not be answered at
all. But I do think it's going to be bad when you're going to start comparing Wii U. What's going to happen is you're going to have the triple release Wii U, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360. So now consumers are going to be able to make the comparison, and if the comparison is favorable to the Wii U, that'll be good. If it looks the same, that could be a warning
sign.
When
you put the power in the third parties to do that stuff, they're not going to put all their, like, you know, they're not going to put all their money into a launch game.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I'm just saying from a consumer perspective.
I'm ending this just bong. Yes. E3 hype train! Rolling along and out of this
discussion. Can I make, like, a side discussion out of this? I think this E3 will show that it's not so much the console makers anymore, but it's the engine makers that are throwing their weight around the most.
You think so?
I think
so. Who are they?
That would be Epic, and it would be the guys that the guys who are making CryEngine. What are their names?
Crytek.
Thank you.
Same three first letters.
Oh yes, I know.
Does it even care about their engine anymore? Do they
Dude, Crytek.
Try to sell
Crytek
it to people?
3 is pretty.
No,
crazy.
Id.
Not really.
Yeah.
And I think you'll probably see a little bit from the Japan side as well. But I think, like,
basically, you guys are all fossils. I'm gonna throw it on the gauntlet right now. You guys are all fossils.
Oh, ouch! Wow.
Damn.
We'll do our iOS free to play episode for you young kids next podcast. There, Benja.
Not just me. We young kids. I'm just saying, you know, of all our clients, I've been around. I've talked to them for about a year and a half. They bad-mouthed free-to-play, they bad-mouthed iOS, and especially in Japan, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
These are DNA games, these are Greek games, and a lot of times they revolve around a famous star or somebody who is in the game,
right?
And then you're pressing a button multiple times.
Yes.
It's their time wastes, the et cetera. Play. And therefore, from someone who truly is a creator that makes games, you look at those sort of things, and you're like, those aren't games. You know,
cancer.
They're not cancer, but I mean, everybody.
It's legalized drug dealing.
Where are you going with this, Ben? Yes.
What I wanted to say is that everybody looks down. We're like effete snobs. We're all looking down on that sort of market and whatever, but it has slowly gotten bigger and bigger and bigger before our very eyes, to the point where I don't think it's now a topic that you can ignore.
How is this coming out of what JJ
just
said?
Because we are having an E3 discussion,
yeah,
and we are only mentioning the same old tired console and package.
No, we're talking
developers.
We're talking about what we care about. But
you're going to get some.
Okay,
well,
you're talking about. But I'm okay with talking about. Yeah.
You're also,
you know,
ignoring such a
games.
Huge portion of where games are going in the future.
But I don't think that's what E3 is going to be.
Yeah.
That's the question. Is
okay.
It? Are we going to see more mobile, free to play? Samurai Dragons or whatever is on the PS Vita. Sony's dipping into that. Will Microsoft? There are a lot of these questions because you can say what you will about what those games represent in Japan, but as a business model, allowing your users to play the game first and then determining how much money they want to spend on a game is here to stay.
Okay, so Ben Judd, so to bring this back, do you think that that is something that you start to see? I don't think that. I think that that is something that is going to be shown more and more, and is going to be integrated into console games more and more. I don't think that this E3 is its Sweet 16, whatever, coming out party, debutante ball. Maybe next year, maybe 2 years from now, once you see Xbox Live have a couple big high profile ones. Nintendo maybe dip its toe into that area.
I think when Dota 2 explodes, because that game's going to be free to play.
Uh-huh.
When that game explodes, people will get serious about free to play.
When do you think it's going to explode?
When it comes out next year.
Well, immediately?
So Ben,
really?
Ben, what about you?
Dude, it's already the second most played fucking game on Steam, dude.
Okay. So,
wow, you
that
got
was
serious
two
there.
That was two,
dude.
That was two dude,
dude
in a
dude.
Sentence.
Brendan was being flippant, and I just wanted to,
you had to make it
tell
real.
Him
that's
what,
cool. Okay,
what reality is like.
Ben Judd, is what you're saying that you think this is a significant thing that's going to be at this E3 that we're ignoring, or what are you saying? What's your viewpoint?
I think that I'm in a very unique situation through my job to talk with all publishers,
right.
To talk with all developers, to talk with the people that are like the Grees and the DNAs, to talk with the people that are the old guard, the Capcom, Konamis, the Bandai Namcos, to talk with people in the West, EA, Activision. And it seems to me, right, that just how much these games are making, and they're making
these free-to-play games.
They're making so much money.
Yes.
I know that we as core gamers that have been raised on classic games, we look down upon them. But if you're a businessman, right, you can't look down on them.
Right.
A company
people
like,
are not.
A company like Capcom,
yeah,
right, if you were to compare it to another company like Gloops, which is in Japan, if they were to go IPO tomorrow, they would be valued at the same price of Capcom. And you're saying, who's Gloops? A lot of people don't know about them.
But I know about Gloops.
Okay, well, you know about them, but you don't think you would not whisper them the same breath as Capcom as a gamer,
right,
would you?
Actually, well, we have a unique perspective that we also live in Japan, yep. And we've worked on a few social games. We know how, and working in Tokyo, we work near DNA and Gree, and we hear almost weekly people we know who used to work at Sony, who used to work at right. Capcom,
yep. have moved over.
Have moved over.
It's sure. not something we are not. And they're intensely aware of.
So they're getting a lot more money at those places. Those guys are filthy rich.
Yeah, let me get to the point. What's Konami even doing now?
Exactly.
Nothing.
Let me get to the point.
Except for making money on their free to play. Right.
And that is the point: is that money is going to drive the sort of content that is being created by these publishers. And right now, China, Korea, and Japan account for 75% of free to play sales. So if you're a Japanese publisher, you're making a shit ton of money in free to play and mobile and social. Therefore, what I think is going to happen, it'll be reflected in EA, or not EA, I'm sorry, it'll be reflected in E3, my bad.
Yeah.
Is that if you're a Japanese publisher, you're going to have to start focusing on that area because as you're making all your money, they will start to naturally, organically transition into E3, showing more and more of those games. Because that's the business model that's supporting them. That's the business model that's making them so much more money than packaged games.
Right.
Even
right.
though in the West, traditionally, E3 symbolizes hardcore, big budget, AAA, huge games. They're naturally, just out of natural business evolution, going to have to start showing more and more of those games. So that's why I think that EA, or not E3, man, I love those. I love making that mistake. That's why I think that at E3, you're going to see a lot more this year than you did in previous years. You're right. It's not going to be the whole, you know, now it's 50-50. It's certainly right. not there.
Just by though, it's been like threes. Zero. So it's like if there's
that's
one,
what I'm saying.
You've got
I
more.
Think we're, I think we're going to see maybe 5, maybe 10% companies starting to dip their toe in there, and that's going to be the start.
I agree. You're going to start to see like iPads set up on kiosks.
But
right.
That's big news. For E3, that is big news. For them to allow in
sad.
This content.
Makes me sad.
I know it makes
you
sad.
Happy. It makes me sad. I don't care if that makes me old-fashioned.
I went through all 5 phases of, you know, denial, hatred, bargaining, etc. You know, I finally reached acceptance, and that is, these games may not be the hardcore classic games that I knew and loved and grew up on, but there's a place for them, and eventually they'll evolve too to be something that
well,
is really
that's
cool.
the part that I'm waiting for. Because honestly,
I'm sorry.
A lot of those games are. I mean, there's not like I have a stigma against a game just because it's on my iPhone. I have a stigma against those games because there are like I feel like shoddily designed and or just like simple like hamster push the thing and get the treat thing setups, and like the aesthetics are. Garbage. By and large, are garbage. They look like trash.
There's not quality control. It's how many pieces of content can we put on our platform. But I think that's also going to change.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's already changing, and there are good games out there.
There are free-to-play games out there that, you know, like League of Legends, Heroes of New Earth. These games are huge fucking games, make lots of money, and are more hardcore than any game we've talked about on the show.
That's true. That is true. So that's making a distinction. Like, free-to-play does not mean anything.
Right,
I think free-to-play is a model that can work with
I think it's a beautiful model.
Any kind of...
And I think if you have a competitive game and you're not free-to-play, you're an idiot. Capcom. Thank you.
Wait, what competitive game does Capcom have?
Street Fighter 4.
Oh, okay. Oh. I could see that going to free-to-play
Dude,
at some
if,
point.
If
that would be really
if
smart.
If they are serious about pro gaming, Street Fighter 4.5
Fireball,
or 5
50 cents.
Needs to be... Free to play in the model of what Valve does with Dota 2.
Well, I mean, free to play is largely actually Avatar sales last year, 500 million in Japan. This year, they project them to be 1 billion. Avatar.
Yeah.
Right? So, a game that's based on characters, good looking characters, allowing them to dress as any costume that, you know, Ken is now wearing Louis Vuitton, you know, suits and shit.
Right.
People would eat that crap up in
they
Japan.
Would. When you think about it, like, at the top of the show, I said I was against DLC, and I am. But if I get the game for free, I have no problem in spending like $5 getting a few outfits.
But you
whatever.
Do.
No, I don't. I don't.
but I'm saying if you look at free-to-play gamer patterns in China, Korea, and Japan, the top 75%, and you look at them in like America and Europe, we have – this is just my personal feeling. We don't want to be monetized. We don't want to feel like people are forcing us to spend money, right?
Right.
Even if – if you break it down and say, well, shit, I'm getting this game for free. I should spend a dollar or two if I like it, right? But still, we don't want to feel like we're being used or being treated
as
cheap or whatever. And we don't want to feel monetized. And so there's this innate, as Western gamers, feelings internally where we're like, oh, I'm not going to pay a dollar for some coins when I can slowly earn them. They're not going to force me to spend any money. Mm. But in Japan, China, and Korea, they're not like that. They like the game. They're like, I like the game. I'll spend some money.
Well, so
there's not as many big emotional barriers to spending, I think.
So people playing are different, though.
Ben, this leads into – why don't we go into this other discussion?
By the way, it's been an hour and 43 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I am aware of that.
We're wrapping up. We're through Microsoft.
I really want to talk about Dragon's Dogma.
Through E3 stuff.
Shit, yeah. I guess we should talk about Dragon's Dogma. All right, let's talk about our games. So
Dragon's Dogma.
Which we have to say up front, and all of us, like Ben, we have our people that we work with, too. Yes. We did work on Dragon's Dogma, so we kind of can't really say anything bad about it. I think the reviews we can say probably... I don't disagree with the reviews. One interesting thing I have found about the game is that people are like, yeah, I agree with that review. I really like this game, and I'm still like addicted to this game.
That's pretty much how I feel.
This game. Yeah, so... the two things, like my takeaway from it is, one, borrowing other people's pawns and having your pawn lent out and coming back to you is actually like a really cool mechanic.
I love it.
It's really addictive.
Yeah.
So like you'll go to an inn, and this is one thing the game doesn't necessarily explain that great. It's just kind of you go to an inn and stay at it, and all of a sudden your pawn comes back with all of these rift crystals, and you're like, whoa, wait, you've been out earning crystals with other people? Like, and yes,
they come back with all sorts of knowledge about like the world and enemies and
all
that
stuff. Is like really cool as well, right? It's not presented really clearly. A lot of stuff that the game is doing is just not presented to the player super clearly, but it's doing lots of really cool stuff behind the scenes.
And before you say anything, no, that's not our fault.
Whatever it is that you're
thinking. Whatever the problem may be.
Whatever you're thinking is not our fault. I will say certain voice actors nail it, are excellent.
Yeah.
Some don't. I didn't say that. I said certain voice actors nail it.
But back to the pawn thing. Like, you know, it's actually, it feels really good when, like, your pawn comes back and there's, like, three people who left comments and you get, like, 20,000 rift crystals. And then you see, like, this long list of all the things they learned because they were with those players for so long. Kind of makes you feel like a proud father. Like,
wait, so you can go into and see, here's what they learned?
If people leave comments, it shows, like, you know, who left the comment and all that stuff.
Right, right.
And it shows what all they learned while they
were. So for people who, real quick, just to grab people up, pawns are your like right-hand man or woman NPC that you also create.
Mostly woman, by the way.
That you apparently so, that you have with you all the time. You can lend out like asynchronously to other players.
Well, they just take it. It's not a choice.
You don't lose them while the other people are borrowing them, and you can do so with other people's pawns to have a party of four, including yourself and that's called your main pawn that you lend out to other people. Anyway, what else? Climbing on monsters is really cool.
Yeah.
that worked out. That becomes like a huge thing. It becomes so important. And early on in the game, like the size and scale of the monsters, like everything kind of has a weight to it in the game.
Yes.
To where I was down underneath Grand Sorin, the Everfall, and going along, you know, fighting little skeletons, fighting bats and stuff, and having a good time. It was fine.
Right.
Hitting switches or something. All of a sudden, in the distance, I see an ogre.
Dude,
yes. And it's like, holy shit.
And you don't know what to do.
Yeah, you're not like, do I want to fight it?
Can I even fight it?
Yeah.
You don't know. And then you shoot an arrow at it.
Yeah, exactly. The same thing. It's like, okay, well, I'm just going to poke it from here.
Yeah.
And let's see. And then you fucking, it sees you. It gets pissed off. It comes at you. You're like, holy fuck. Jump on its back. Holding on its back. Attacking it, and then it jumps up and jumps onto its back to smash you.
So I did that, and I died. And then
that killed you.
It killed me. But then I devised a plan because there are there's ledges in that area. It's a fairly thin hallway.
This happened to me on accident.
Yeah, and I know kinda, where you're going. I kind of stood around the edge, and I was like, hey, over here. And then he just ran right off it.
And he dies, right? He dies, and you get the experience.
Yep.
Yeah, which is the same thing that happened to me. So you, like, actually did that on purpose. Fooled him to get off the cliff.
Yes.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
It's fun. Dude, it's so, like, that.
Those are the moments.
He saw Tremors.
Right.
So did I.
Dude, the moment, those kind of moments in this game are where, like, it's a 10.
Right.
The moments where it's not a 10 for me is when the game is a very large open world.
We don't need to talk about those moments, JJ. Why don't we talk about the 10 moments?
Well, okay.
Talk more about the 10
moments. But I mean, it's just like a lot of people.
The interface,
have been talking,
obviously,
you know, actually, I
could be better.
The interface is just it's not a bad enough problem for me to complain about it. And actually, there was a thing my friend David told me about the other day, was that you can transfer, like, all the items in a certain category by pressing start all at once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Like, mind blown.
Because your pawns pick up items and stuff,
right.
And you, in order to buy and sell and transfer and equip, and even with skills, you have to go to different menus, and there's a lot of of menu.
But the traveling in the game is both one of its best parts and one of its worst parts, because
I think I know what you mean.
Pretty much every quest you do is far away from Grand Soren, which is like the main hub of the world. And it takes a little time to get there. And on the good side, it means that you have to plan your trip. You need to know where you're going. You need to know if you've got the right supplies with you.
Well, it's a big deal going out because you've got to get back. And there's not, especially until later in the game, an easy way of, like, sort of warping around.
Right. And if you're stuck out in the nighttime,
yeah,
you can get fucked really easily.
Yes.
Because the freaks come out at night.
Yes, they do.
And
big time.
That's where you get, like, you know, ghouls that fly around and, like, do all sorts of shit.
And also you can't see as shit.
Yeah.
You can see a few feet in front of you with your lantern
your
on.
Radius of vision, even with, like, a lantern on, is, like, literally, like, your arm's length and maybe a little longer.
Yeah.
Can you hire horses or something to speed up the process?
No
horses.
How are the and again, I have not played this.
Yeah.
How are the fighting mechanics? I know the team behind it were the guys that did Devil May Cry 4, and they also did Devil May Cry 3, and they're all about, like, canceling and, like, frames of animation and all that.
Yes.
How, if you are, like, a good fighting game aficionado or somebody that can sit there and play frame by frame, is that offering you a big advantage in the game or not?
It doesn't offer the depth of a game like Devil May Cry 3, but it is eons beyond any other open world game in terms of combat.
I would agree with that. Yeah, actually, to the point where I have been, I don't know yet, because I have seen abilities, and I remember when we were working on abilities that are like canceling a move in the middle of it and stuff like that. So I think that there is that depth, but at the place that I'm at, I did notice you cannot just go in at the very start. You can go in just slashing like crazy, and you're gonna be okay. And then maybe you have to get away when the other guy's attacking. But later on, you have to actually start watching. Okay, when this guy's attacking, he might just kill me. Like, if the guy gets a big solid hit on you, one of those bandits, like, you're fucked.
Yeah, and especially if there are two. Like, even bandits aren't that strong, but if you got two around you and you start getting hit, that's it.
So it is cool in that in those games, you're used to just going in and spamming or just walking backwards and just throwing spells. And you do have to be thinking more, okay, am I going to be using something that's going to be using my stamina?
Right.
Am I going to be doing the three arrow knock, which I do a lot, which feels awesome too.
Yeah.
Like, that part of the game as well, shooting the Cyclops in the fucking eye with your, you know, the game didn't tell you that. It's just like, wait, it's a Cyclops. I have a bow. Let's see if this works. And
you played Goma before, right?
Awesome.
In Zelda?
Of course. Well, yeah. Definitely.
The eye.
Shoot it in the eye.
But anyway, it feels really good. And I'm interested and excited to explore it more. Right now, it doesn't feel like super precise, like Devil May Cry precise, but like you said, it's for the genre is eons beyond.
But there's, like, if you play a Strider, there are a few combos, like they have this move where you send out these strings and then bring a guy back in, and then there's another move where you do, like, kind of like an uppercut with your dagger and then throw out a bomb
and they explode,
and you can combine those two to, like, have an enemy, like, you know, 5 feet in front of you, bring them to you, and then
that's pretty cool,
and then
get over here.
It's that kind of stuff that, like, you know, that's Capcom cool. is known for. And I think, you know, if I were to compare it to the combat in this game, I would compare it to Sengoku Basara, because it's very...
Don't compare it to that.
Dude, please. I wish you would play that game, because the game is so good.
You always pull that game out whenever.
Same producer, right?
It is the same producer. And, dude, if I could sit you in a room and let you play
I have played it before.
You would change your mind.
What were the points of contention that the Western media has had against it? Because I know it's
Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah, it's tracking around the 70s.
It's getting a lot of like seven and a half, a lot of 8.5.
So what's the issue? Just listening to you guys, it sounds really friggin' awesome.
Well, so almost all of the reviews say like, okay, well, there's this kind of weirdness. They talk about the interface. A lot of them talk about the interface. A lot of them have said it doesn't have much of a story until the beginning and the end.
Which I don't understand. I've seen plenty of cutscenes, and like there is a story that is progressing, I feel.
Some people, I think it's a matter of how much you end up valuing kind of the moment-to-moment gameplay. If the overall structure of the game is important, if like how the UI is set up, if how the quests are presented... if everything like being, you know, smooth and, you know, error free, for lack of a better word, is important, then I think there are absolutely holes. But if you are into the like making your own story, like in the Gaff thread, there are just people's whole huge stories. I did this and then this happened and then this happened. The quote unquote emergent gameplay or whatever you want to call it of the game is amazing and off the chart. And that combined with a fun moment-to-moment gameplay, which is something that you just do not get in Skyrim. Skyrim, which is like, you look at Skyrim, these guys have been doing that for like 20 years.
Right.
If this is like Capcom's first foray into this, like, I'm really excited to see where it would go.
I think Dragon's Dogma 2 is going to be amazing.
Do you think Skyrim will take hints from Capcom, sort of like Cliffy B has taken hints from Resident Evil 4 with the Gears of War and whatnot?
I do think that Skyrim has got to be finally hearing maybe the next push will be we're going to make combat fun. I mean, they have to. Sooner or later, it has to be that, right?
I'm not sooner so or later, sure.
Didn't they say that with this one? They're like, hey, kill cams. Well, they said it was more that way, but they did not make that
Skyrim,
the focus.
What are their reviews? What's Skyrim getting?
Oh, God. Like, dying.
100.
Right, yeah, so why bother?
I don't get it. So Skyrim, again, I have, to be honest, to apologize to all the listeners, I have not played either.
I haven't either.
I played Oblivion.
You really should play Skyrim.
Yeah, and people tell me that, and it sounds like we're
going to try it at least, just to see what it's doing.
Combat seems like a core component of a game.
But it's serviceable. It's like if the platforming part of your game was like Crash Bandicoot, right? It's like you're not going to like... Well, no, it's worse than that. It is kind of bad, to be honest. It's weird. What people will forgive... I mean, you'll have moments of fun combat. You have moments where like, oh, I hit this guy with an arrow. But like what people will forgive for the breadth of that game, which is... amazing. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Skyrim, even?
Yes. What people will forgive is a lot of stuff. And I do.
Is it because it's atmospherically exciting? Or
it's because the feeling that you really just have to try it, but the feeling that it gives you of I'm out in this world and I could do whatever anything. I want. And I can...
Freedom.
And I can, like, focus on mastering spells, and I'm going to become like, you start to get that, like, I'm getting better, I'm getting more powerful.
You don't feel that in Dragon's Dogma.
Dude, you feel that so much better in Dragon's Dogma.
You definitely, I don't know if it's better or not, but you definitely feel that in Dragon's Dogma as well. The progression in Dragon's Dogma is another great thing that we didn't really get much into, but what Skyrim has, I think, more polished is the way that the world interacts. I mean, you've seen it progress in each Elder Scrolls game. They just have a lot more experience here. The way things interact, how people talk to you, how they look when they're talking to you, etc. They're just a couple games beyond in that respect. But the moment-to-moment gameplay, so depending on who you are as a gamer, I think you could really enjoy Dragon's Dogma.
I've probably said this a million times, I am not an Elder Scrolls guy, but this game really tickles my fancy. And I think, you know, with Dogma, like...
the points where you're like talking to people and doing that kind of stuff, I definitely would say that Skyrim does it much better. Mm-hmm. Because you really don't need to talk to anybody.
Weren't there complaints about the pawns, the number of times they talk or something like that? Did I not read that somewhere?
That's common, but that doesn't bother me really. And they do provide good advice from time to time.
Yeah, they do talk way too much. I mean, way too much.
Believe it or not, I think in Sengoku Basa, like, they also had that issue initially.
Yes.
So.
And they toned it down.
Maybe you're just oblivious to other people talking to you.
No, it's just
like, doesn't listen when people talk to
him. I do tune my pawns out from time to time.
We're going to jump on to the next thing, right, Mark?
Yes.
Before you do that, I just want to say one thing.
Okay.
I'd like to throw a shout out to Garode Reedy. He was the assistant producer on Bionic Commander Rearmed.
Indeed.
Apparently not in the credits, which I think is a shame.
Really?
Because he did put a lot of time and energy and love into the game.
He was our contact for a little while, yeah, and he left a couple, maybe a year and a half, 2 years before the game finished. But yes, absolutely, Garode.
I think it's listening. Universal. As creators, we have a responsibility to pay credit and due to anybody who worked ridiculously long hours trying to make the product a better product in the end. So,
absolutely.
Well, luckily, he got
peace
it
out.
Here.
Yes. Credit to Garode Reedy.
Garode,
love you, man.
Interesting. Woo. Interesting name.
Yeah.
Yes. For those of you who don't
Irish.
Know how to spell it, how do you spell that name?
G-E-A-R-O-I-D. I thought he was a Transformer.
It's like Geroid.
Geroid.
Yes. Isn't that like what those little things in Animal Crossing are called?
Actually, Geroids?
I think so.
Are they?
The ones really?
That go boing.
Yeah. Geroids?
okay, Brendan.
Yes.
Sonic 4 Episode 2. We're running short on time, but give us the...
Can we hear about Crimson Shroud instead?
We can do that, too. Give us the short version of... Should anyone give a shit about Sonic 4 Episode 2?
Yes.
Really?
It's way better than Episode 1.
Okay.
Like, light years better.
And but they retroactively kind of fixed what? What they said about...
Episode 1?
The bar is set pretty low.
I agree. But
any number is greater than zero.
Surprisingly, they actually listened. And they listened to all the complaints about Episode 1. And they even tease you about the problems in episode 1.
So I thought this was interesting. So explain that part, because I think that's a cool little
anecdote. Well, first I'll just say the one thing that probably everyone cares about is the physics actually work now. And Sonic actually
always
has momentum.
Nice.
And, you know, when you slow down, he slowly slows down as opposed to just stopping on a dime.
Right.
So that's positive.
That was the biggest complaint of the first
one.
How
that's
fucked
fixed.
Up the momentum and the physics.
It feels like
wrong.
Some great GIFs came out of that.
Yeah.
Some great movies, some YouTubes came out of that as well.
It feels like Sonic 2 now, which is not a bad thing by any means.
Okay.
The other thing was that in Episode 1, all of the bosses were just rehashes of bosses from, I think it was Sonic 2 and Sonic 3.
Okay.
And in Sonic 4 Episode 2, the first boss of the game that you'll encounter, the boss of the first level, they start out by setting up the boss area exactly like a boss fight from Sonic 2. And you're like, oh no, not again.
Right.
And then
that sounded like a line Sonic would say in like the 1990s animated series.
Wait, the good anime series or the bad one?
Phrase? Oh no, not again.
Maybe.
The good anime series or the bad one?
Which one was the one with Urkel?
Wait, there was a good one?
Yes.
Anyway,
there was.
Point being,
so they set up and you're like, oh no, not this again. And then,
see, it's a good catchphrase.
Yeah.
And then Robotnik comes and just destroys the whole arena, and it becomes something you've never seen before.
Nice. So they actually played around with what people were.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
So they changed that. They got rid of it. All of the other boss battles I've fought were completely new and really interesting. There are always interesting dynamics going on. There's one where there are two tracks, one in the background and one in the foreground.
Yeah.
And depending on whether you bounce on springboards or not, you'll be on different planes and attack, and the enemy's attacks can go on one plane, the other plane, or both planes, which is interesting.
Is this like King of Fighters or Fatal Fury, where you're jumping in and out of the foreground and background, or
something like that? But you can't control it. You have to. There are positions on the field where you can bounce back and forth.
Right.
It's really interesting. The combo abilities with Tails are a lot of fun. You can command Tails to pick you up so you can fly to higher locations when you want to.
Sure.
You can.
Can you leave him to die in Sonic 2? Okay.
Yes, you can.
Nice.
He dies a lot as usual. The special stages are based on Sonic 2 as opposed to Sonic 1. They're the better special stages, and they're much more interesting and a lot more fun.
Sonic 2, are those the ones that you were running?
That you're running
the screen?
Have to.
You're running the half tube, and you're collecting rings, and you have to get get like a certain number of rings to proceed. It's those. It's actually updated with more options than Sonic 2's special stages. So that's cool. The only downside is that it's still overpriced because it's only half a game you're getting.
And how much was it?
I think it's 1500 yen.
Jesus. That's like $16, $17.
Probably 15 bucks in America. Probably 50 bucks.
Yeah, it was either 1000 yen or 1500, but I'm pretty sure it was 1500. And it's, I mean, you're only getting half a game, so that's overpriced. And the multiplayer is kind of hilarious. I went onto the multiplayer servers, and there was exactly one other person on the planet playing the game.
Okay.
One more than never dead.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. And lastly, the one thing they promote is that if you have Episode 1 and Episode 2, you can play Metal Sonic stages. Which I thought meant you could fight Metal Sonic, but no, you play as Metal Sonic.
So same stages, you just play as Metal Sonic.
It's no, they're not the same stages. They're Episode 1 stages that have been rehashed and are now harder. But they're still just Episode 1 stages.
Sorry. Do we need to keep talking about
Sonic? Yeah, I think I think we're ready to move on.
Do any flick pigs appear in the game?
No.
Okay.
Sadly.
Everybody, we are a Japanese podcast. Yes. Crimson Shroud is the game people want to know about.
Unfortunately,
this is fucking Matsuno.
Okay. Episode 2 is better than Crimson Shroud.
Oh, what?
This is Brendan being a contrarian and acting retarded again.
All right, so say what
Crimson Shroud
is. No. Say what Crimson Shroud is first.
Crimson Shroud is one of the games in Guild 01, not Dildo 1. Which is a collection of games released by Level 5.
Featuring four mini-games.
Four mini-games made by four people.
Super creators.
Well, super creator. One guy's a comedian.
Yeah, one guy's.
And super creators and a comedian. Yeah.
Yes.
And this one in particular was made by Matsuno.
Yes.
Of Final Fantasy Tactics.
Okay, so now we got the background. So, and people kind of, the other ones you guys had played at Level 5 World and whatever, this one was still kind of a mystery until we just got the game.
It was the only one anyone actually really cared about.
Right. It's the only one that wasn't available for play at Level 5.
Okay, so not as good as Sonic. Four episodes.
Don't think so.
All right, let's skip that for now. Yeah. Give us the basics of just what it is. So it's kind of a RPG.
It's sort of an RPG, but no, it's almost closer to a visual novel. It's entirely text based. You're reading a story as it goes along. The writing is actually very good. It's written in sort of period dialogue. They use archaic Japanese to indicate archaic medieval speech. It's almost entirely text. You're just reading this person talks to this person. And in the background, there are just still images.
Yeah.
And what's weird is there's still images that are rendered. So it looks like it looks like almost like a bad PSP graphics, but frozen still image.
Mm. So it looks like real-time quality level stuff, but posed and then taken a picture.
But like frozen and then taken a picture of.
I see.
Which looks really weird.
Probably from the real game that they're making.
I hope so. But it has a very interesting plot.
Medieval. So the setting is kind of medieval.
The setting is medieval.
Knights and wizards.
Shit.
People with bunny rabbit ears.
None of
them. Oh, come on.
Does anybody waggle their finger when you leave the game on for too long and don't do anything?
No.
Okay.
There's very little motion on the screen, which I will. It gets even worse later on.
Right.
But
okay,
the music is beautiful. It's Sakimoto, who always works with Matsuno and his studio. I think it's Bass Escape. The music is gorgeous. When the art does appear, instead of the weird frozen images, it's very beautiful. The very first dungeon in the game, you get a sort of sketching of what looks like a ruined palace, which looks very cool.
I'm raising my hand for listeners. Okay, you just mentioned dungeons. I don't care about the art. Tell me what the fuck the game is.
Okay, so the progress of the game is you enter a dungeon.
It's late.
Well, first of all,
linear? You're just going forward?
No. You get a picture of a map of a dungeon on the bottom screen.
Right.
And you select which room you go to next. I want to go to the east hallway, or I want to go to the north gallery, etc. And in those rooms, you'll either have an event sequence where you may have to make a decision, like a story-based decision, sort of like a choose-your-own-adventure kind of thing.
Okay.
Do I try to dodge these arrows coming at me, or do I use my sword to knock them away?
Mm. All right.
Or a battle.
Right.
Okay.
And these decisions are decided purely by what you choose, or is there a part of luck? Is there any luck to it?
Depends on the decision. If there are story decisions, then they may not have any involved luck. If it's a something like, am I dodging these arrows or not, a dice roll may occur.
There we go.
You have to roll the dice.
That's what I was waiting for.
You have to roll the dice, and if you get like 10 or above, it's, you know, like a pencil and paper RPG.
Right.
It'll be successful, or if you don't, then it'll be unsuccessful, and presumably you'll take damage or something. Every time I did it, I actually was successful, so I don't know what happens.
So basically, it's like a D&D module made by Montano.
Right.
And you're actually rolling the dice when you roll the dice.
Yes, you take the stylus, and you shake the dice, and they roll on the screen, and if you do it too strongly, the dice can fall off the screen, and that dice doesn't count. That happened to me once.
Interesting.
That's kind of hilarious. So, combat?
Combat is traditional turn-based RPG. You can use one attack or one magic spell and a skill. You can always use a skill.
Right, skills like...
So, for example, one skill was meditation for the magic user, and that recovers your MP, and one of the things you can do is you choose that skill, and then you roll your dice to determine how much NPC is actually recovered.
Okay, I
see. So it could be anywhere from, like, 10 to 20 or something like that.
And when you attack, when you defend, you're rolling dice and all of these things?
They're just regular attacks.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird. Okay.
And this is where things get kind of not
dicey.
Dicey.
Why?
The load times are terrible.
Really? Is that the complaint? You're like, putting this over Sonic because of load times.
I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet.
So upset at the Sonic comparison.
Like, it's this game basically stops, and you wait like 15 to 20 seconds, and then finally the name of the room you just entered appears.
Oh,
and
it's that bad.
And it slowly fades away.
Text.
It's entirely text too.
Yeah.
It slowly fades away, and then finally the text appears, and you can go through the text, and...
Okay, load times are bad.
Load times are bad. The battle sequences... I said that there's not much in the way of graphics in this game.
Right.
They basically have characters, and your characters look like Warhammer figurines. They have... They actually have stands, and they stand there.
Yeah.
And there are no animations at all.
Okay.
So if you cast a spell, like, the screen flashes a little bit, and that's your spell.
Sure.
And if you attack, your little figurine tips a little bit in the direction of the enemy.
For what it's worth, Etrian Odyssey did not have animation either.
So the enemy shows up as a little, like, lead figure, you show up as a little lead figure, and it's just no animations, no effects.
The animations are your little figure shakes a little bit, and that means you're attacking, and spells are the screen flashes a little bit.
Okay. Dorinando, free-to-play card game, also doesn't have it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So makes a shit ton of money.
Well, the little cards shake themselves, don't they?
Right.
They don't animate, but they shake.
I would say this game probably has a far better plot than Dorinando does.
Which has no plot.
Because it has no plot.
Yeah.
But it just becomes, and the plot seemed really interesting. The writing was good. It's just tedious. Waiting for the load times and then watching your character shake a little bit.
Right.
And the
not
battles,
a good word to describe something tedious.
And the battles take a long time. The enemies have a lot of HP. And there's some interesting stuff you can do. You have the option to, you start stacking up dice rolls. By performing, like, if you choose the right decision in one of those decision places, you'll win a dice roll. And you can use those to boost your attacks. Like, you can use a dice roll to boost the attack power of an attack or the accuracy of attack. So you press dice roll, and then you press what stat you want to boost. And then you roll a dice, and if, say, you were originally going to do 40 damage and your dice rolls a 5, then you'll do 45 damage.
Okay.
Which is cool, but it's just not enough to really save... What's a tedious, boring system?
Yeah, and this is one quarter of a game, right? So it's not really like a full game
of itself. Of course, right. It's interesting. It's very interesting, but at least from... I played about an hour.
It sounds kind of like a cell phone game. Sorry, Ben Judd, not to be too old-fashioned or anything here, but it sounds kind of like a cell phone game.
Why
something that you would get for free or a dollar... And do microtransactions, but
it does.
On a 3DS.
Right.
There are games like that on the iPhone, actually.
Right,
but it just, if you were in Matsuno's shoes, right?
Mm.
I mean, he just, the last major thing he did was what? Final Fantasy XII?
Yeah.
Which was, you know, a 40 out of 40 on Famitsu. It's not that means really anything, but still, a lot of people really liked it.
Mm.
Would you really want to, like, come out of your retirement, or would you really want to, like, be like, okay, I've been gone for like 4 years, 5 years, and now look what I've done. Would you really want this to be your debut game? Even if it was a fourth of something else?
Maybe he just wants to ease back into it. I don't know.
This might be whatever.
That's very slowly.
Yeah. Because this, I mean, maybe this is
something he just put his name on while he's working on whatever.
Right. This isn't like the Matsuno game. This is Matsuno dipping his feet before the
right, but it
doesn't matter,
like,
his name is on it.
I feel like there's so much more it's they could no do, even with that. Like, first of all, I think a big deal would have been just eliminate the ugly, gone with art completely. I think that would have
been better.
I think that would improve the game dramatically. Yeah.
Well, that's why I think that stuff comes from a real game that's probably being made.
If that's true, like, if they were to flesh this idea out a little bit more, keep the good plot, keep the good music, add more art, add more complication to it, I would be all behind this game. It's not a bad game. It's just
a core. It's not even really good a game yet.
It's a tedious game.
It's a tedious
Sonic
game.
4 episode 2.
I think JJ, if you played it, you would see why I would call this game tedious.
Right, but I just,
because I want to like
Sonic,
this game.
Sonic
I do.
Is so irrelevant that it's just like, I don't care. Sorry.
Says someone who hasn't played it.
Wow.
It doesn't
Mario,
matter. Dude, I grew up with
Sonic, Mega Man, they're all irrelevant. Nobody cares about them anymore.
Mario's not irrelevant, but Sonic is. And so is Mega Man. But
not in terms of sales, they're not irrelevant. But anyway. Guildo 2 is already being talked about. It's already been announced.
That's one thing I wanted to mention.
Minigame collection.
There's an option on the front screen of Guild 01 where they say there's a special section, and when Guild 02 comes out, if you buy it, you'll get a passcode that you can now input into Guild 01 to unlock some sort of content.
Isn't that weird?
That's so bizarre.
That is weird. That's weird. The other weird thing is it comes with a demo of, what is it, Time Travelers.
Time Travelers.
Yes.
But you have to, like, do something in each of the four games in order to unlock it.
Really?
Very old-fashioned way of thinking about what a demo is and stuff. And weird that it comes... Maybe it'll be available for download at some point, but very weird that it's only on the cart, much less you have to, like, earn it.
They probably just want you to play all the games.
Well, I mean, you've already bought it at that point, though. It's like,
what difference
strange.
Does it make?
Like, it's almost like this is your reward. It kind of is, but also it's like this is your ad for your next game. Like, don't you want everyone to see this game?
That is a good point, yes.
Anyway.
Answer to
that. We should talk about... So Hiroko and John, I should have mentioned this earlier in the podcast, but the reason that they are not on the podcast is because, well, John is in America and going to be at E3, but Hiroko is here, but working furiously on Sword and Sorcery, the Japanese version.
Right.
Kitai no Musume.
Onkyo teki boukengeki.
Yes. Our localized version, which A4 is proud to announce that we are localizing it. Oh, Hiroko's walking over as we're talking about her. So we're bug testing it and everything now. The exciting part, so you might be like, okay, well, I listen to your podcast and I don't play games in Japanese, so why should I care? So we're localizing the game for the Japanese market, doing a bunch of stuff around that. There's actually some really cool somebody. We got a cool person to be doing a voice in the game that we're going to talk about later.
Yes.
The guys are coming over, Chris from Cappy and Craig from Super Brothers, coming over to Japan to promote it. Hopefully it'll be a big deal here. It's already sold kind of well, even just in the English version where people didn't understand it. But anyway, we love the game, and we're big believers in it and those guys, so we just wanted to bring it out here and do it right. So that's what we're doing. It's coming out June 21st, but so the reason that maybe you should care if you listen to this podcast is along with it, we're actually doing a remix album of songs from the Ballad of the Space Babies, the Sword and Sorcery LP, basically the game soundtrack. So we got in touch with a whole bunch of Japanese game music artists.
And one chiptune guy.
And a couple chiptune people and random folks. And I had them select songs from the game and remix them. And we're going to be selling that album on iTunes and Bandcamp on the same day, on June 21st. So that is how you can support this podcast. We've been teasing it for a while now.
Yes.
But hopefully, if it sounds like something you'd be into, Bayan has done a track.
Michiru Yamane has done a track of Castlevania.
Very Castlevania.
Yeah. Very much so, yeah. What was hers? Unknowable Geometry?
Yes, Unknowable Geometry. Yeah.
Was her the track that she did, the Symphony remix, which, if you think about it, you might get kind of that reference. Akira Yamaoka did a track.
Yes, he did.
Very much in his vein, his style on it, which was kind of cool to hear. And then we had Matakom,
he is a chiptune artist, lesser known chiptune artist here in Japan, but yes. I think he's pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome. And Dikasugi Hip, which was also like a superhero friend of ours who did a couple tracks. Anyway, you can the webpage is up, sorcery.jp/remix. You can take a listen. And
we have
see
a sampler
if you like there. Any of yes. them. Yeah, you can buy the you'll be able to buy the individual songs on iTunes, but you can buy the whole thing. I think it's gonna be $5, $4.99.
Yeah,
seven.
What a great
tracks.
Price!
Yes, what
great
value!
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
That's it. That's all that tells you about it.
We've been listening to the tracks here in the office as we're working, so we can tell you right now they're good tracks.
Yeah. My favorite is probably the Mitsuto Suzuki of Final Fantasy.
Yes, I didn't even mention him. Yes, Final Fantasy 12 or 13-2.
Yeah, I believe it's the lead
track.
Your
big surprise V3 game.
Yeah. but it's really good.
Either the track.
Really good.
Very good, yeah. So yeah, anyway, take a listen to that. Tell us what you think of it. Hopefully you're excited about it. Hopefully you'll buy it. You can also buy it on Bandcamp. For $5 or more, if you want to buy it for $8.40.
That's a great idea.
Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah. You'd be our best cosmic friend forever if you did that. Anyway, that's what Hiroko and John have been working on, so apologies. We're super excited about that. We're probably going to talk about that next podcast, which will be our post E3 How Wrong We Were podcast.
How right we were.
Yeah, I don't know. Ben Judd probably won't be back for that one, unfortunately, but hopefully
never back again.
Hopefully. Ooh. No, that's not true, because we have a Resident Evil retrospective podcast that we have to talk to you about some stuff.
Take a look at this.
Yes, right? That Do you know what he's referencing?
It's from Resident Evil, right? It's a line, right?
Yeah. In the Deadly Silence version. You want to tease this? You want to tell it? You want me to tell it?
No, we shouldn't be teased.
All right. Well, people who get it will get it, I guess. But Ben worked on your first game at Capcom. Was it Outbreak or Outbreak 2, File 2?
That actually translated was Outbreak, the first one. Yeah.
So, and I remember seeing it, and there was a line, "I'm freezing my tits off."
All me.
And I was like,
that is a very Ben line.
I can't believe this was in the game. Like, and it stuck in my mind this entire time. Resident Evil Outbreak, which is I think the last game that I broke a controller playing. Even
not
though,
my fault.
Even though parts of that game were brilliant, but we should save that for the Resident Evil podcast, because you have some stories about the old Capcom days that we want to talk more about. I actually would love to talk to you about some of the Bionic Commando Rearmed stuff. About like reinventing a franchise, and then also about trying to bring it into next gen, pluses and minuses. Ben is also known as the guy who insisted that the arms look more like hot dogs. They didn't look enough like hot dogs for Ben Judd. Ben Judd's like,
really,
I want to see hot dogs.
They're really good.
I want to think Oscar like, Mayer when I see this, people. More. And they're like, more hot dogs.
We're trying to turn into pizza, and they're like, no, hot dogs. His processed arm, pork product.
His arm should look like hot dogs, or else you're fired.
Did they
look like hot dogs? Yeah. It changed, actually, later. Ben's also probably the guy who made it change, but it looked like his arm had hot dogs.
What can I say? I'm a fan of the hot dog.
Google Bionic Commando and hot dogs.
Can I ask you why Dreads? What was up with that?
Actually, I think the Dreads were good.
Really?
Yeah.
There was we literally went through probably like 20 different character designs, and the problem is you can do focus tasks, you can ask the internal team. There's everybody's got an opinion.
Yes,
and
they do.
The more people you try to ask, the more you just get confused, and you don't know what the right answer is. So one time we had really long red flowing hair, almost like some Viking guardian.
Right.
Other time we had like a really short buzz cut.
Yeah.
You know, we had like a Tom Cruise looking one. We went through everything. But the one thing we wanted that we all agreed on is that we wanted something visual so that when you're swinging, you could tell the direction you're going in. You want
exactly
some sort of swinging part.
Thought, yeah.
And you don't want like just like, what, you know, you can't add a tail. you know, to a person. So hair, long hair was something that made sense.
Yes.
Long blonde hair flowing in the background. Dude, wasn't going to work.
Fabio?
Wasn't going to work.
This is exactly the thought process that I assumed. I assumed it was for that gameplay reason, but you don't want to have some dude just with long hair. Like, he's either going to look like a hair metal guy or he's going to look like Fabio.
But see, with
and then the crew cut guy also is so done. And Gears of War, Mass Effect, it just looks like everybody else.
It's like when I was in high school, people who used to fish.
Then what would you have done?
Had dreads. I don't know.
What would you, then
you,
don't
you
then,
JJ, JJ, solution.
You had months to work on this. I had like 3 seconds.
Yes.
So, 3 seconds. Still, what is your knee-jerk reaction of what would you, if you're going to do a character design as Spider-Man, what would you?
Did the dreads look that bad? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's not that big of a deal, but it was odd. I think I don't know. Let me think about it.
I'm not gonna defend the dreads, because in the end I do think the character design, that was one of the areas where he failed. But
really,
I'm gonna say,
I didn't think the character design was bad. Actually,
it created negative hype, and once the negative hype starts to go in a certain direction, then it's really hard to change the momentum.
Yeah, I would think the way his body is positioned and with the legs moving back and forth, that would be enough, but.
It wasn't. The one thing I can say is that don't ever underestimate the vocal minority's opinion.
Oh, because definitely.
If you're bringing something back, especially like an old franchise, that like even if it's like 100 people that feel very impassioned about, you have to get somewhat close to that, or they're going to go ape shit.
Right.
So
had I
to do it all over again, it would have been red, like hair puffed up,
the alternate,
very much like the original, like 8-bit character. That's what I would have done.
Wasn't there an alternate costume or something
was,
that
correct.
You could get? You would have done more
and,
like that.
And after the game's already been announced, and you know that's the key art.
Right,
we did what we could. You can't go back and totally recreate it from the ground up. But that was one solution.
There was
a
game that did that recently, though, right?
Well, let's see.
It was Infamous 2, actually. Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
That's right. That was one
where they redesigned him. But yeah, that was after it was shown.
Yeah. Right.
But anyway, I would love to talk to you more about that. And actually, the work you do now, like people might not know from this podcast, but Ben knows
because your introduction was shit.
A lot. He knows where the bodies are buried.
Yeah.
He knows a lot about a lot of stuff.
He buried those bodies.
A lot of stuff that's going on here in the Japanese industry. So, like, I'm kind of curious to get more of your take just on the Japanese industry in general and where it's going, where it's headed. Obviously, people can hear that you're talking about mobile, social, free-to-play.
I'm just going
to
use this one example.
Yep.
Because I think it's really interesting.
Okay.
I'm not going to say the company. I'm going to say this. A producer in a very famous Japanese publisher, we were going to do a deal with him. And he came up to me afterwards and said, well, I want to do this franchise. I want to do it this package game, you know, 20 million, 30 million, whatever.
Well-known franchise?
No. No, it would have been original.
Okay.
But he said the way that the internal decision-making process is, and it's based largely, again, on the P&L, where each publisher is making their money.
Profit and loss.
Yep. Was right now, mobile and social is such a force for us as a publisher that if I want to create an original package game, I have to first release that game concept as a mobile and social game. And then if it catches fire, then I can come out later with a package version of it.
Jesus.
So the whole old school way of exactly thinking, which is you make the package game and you got your companion mobile and social game, was flipped on its ear and backwards. And the second I heard that, I was like, oh, shit, things just got real. We can no longer look at mobile and social games as, you know, I mean, they are now leading IP creation and original games at some major Japanese publishers that all you listeners know. So make no mistake. They may be annoying. They may not be what you think are real games, but they will decide the future games you're going to be playing, certainly out of Japan, if not out of other publishers as well.
Just kind of chill.
Yep.
Dude, that's scary.
The future. We don't like change.
No.
Human beings, very bad with change.
And on that note... I think we should probably wrap it up. Is that what you're saying, JJ?
Yes,
because I'm hungry. All right. Well, we should probably wrap it up anyway. We're on.
Yes.
Wow. We're almost at 2.5 hours.
Yes.
Okay. Wrapping up. Actually, Gravity Rush, I just wanted to mention, is going to be coming out soon. That's coming out June 12th. We worked on it.
Yeah.
Check it out. It's getting pretty good reviews.
Very good
America.
Reviews. Yeah.
Surprisingly good reviews.
Next time we'll have our post E3 podcast. So Ben, you will come back to talk about this other stuff that we talked about at some point.
I'm going to have to give you a solid perhaps on that one.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
He means yes. that's a yes.
Definite maybe.
Yeah.
So JJ, where can people find us?
They can find us on the interwebs at giantbomb.com.
Yes.
Or our website at 8-4.jp. You can find us on iTunes. Just look at 8-4 Play. Subscribe to our RSS feeds. Do all that sort of stuff.
That's right. NeoGAF.com. There's usually a forum thread. Yep. During E3, we are going to not be doing anything, but Giant Bomb is going to be having, again, their nightly podcast spectacular, which is awesome. It's like a great way of
watching that stuff.
Catching up on everything that happened during the day. I usually will have that on and be like watching videos. I've only ever missed E3 once, and Giant Bomb wasn't around then, but I guess that's kind of what I imagined doing when I usually
I'll have it on in the background listening while I do work.
That's
shouldn't have said that, but
no. Awesome way. You're not gonna be doing that this year. But they have like these 4 or 5 hour epic podcasts. John actually should hopefully be on one of them.
Oh great.
He might be on the GameSpot stage show as
really?
Well
seriously?
Yeah, with John Davison, friend of the show.
Look at John.
Wow.
John Davison. So, yeah, hopefully he'll be out there representing us and our brand.
Better be.
Ahead of our first ever release in the Japanese market.
Yeah.
Skimusu. That's the short version of Dino Musume.
Skimusu.
You don't need to know that. You need to just know sorcery.jp remix. Anyway, let us know what you think of that. Let us know what you think of this. Let you know what you think of Ben Judd. If we should have him back, maybe we shouldn't. He's playing with his nipples right now.
Yes. Yeah, maybe next time a little less free to play.
Can't stop it.
Maybe
can't
a little
fight
less
the force
free to play.
Free to play, bitches! It's coming! Free to play hype train!
More in there. But anyway, so yeah, we'll be back in a couple weeks. Ben, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure.
Guys.
Good friend of the show. Ben Judd, great guy. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah.
I always say that. Really like great guy. Please come back.
Enough.
Please
thank
come back
you guys.
At some point.
Appreciate it.
And that's it. So until 2 weeks from now.
Twitter accounts.
Do you want to do that? No, let's not do that.
Yeah,
wait. All right, Mark McD. Ben is not on Twitter.
What?
I'm not on Twitter.
You're on the Facebook, though.
That
I'm
doesn't
on the
matter.
Facebook.
He doesn't accept just any fans. Oh,
okay. SBRSK, that's me, Justin, JJ, not John.
And
Brendan Beyond, that's
so,
me, Brendan.
Yeah, you can see whatever we're thinking about the E3 crap that happens as it happens.
We'll probably be tweeting a lot.
Until then, Michelle, Tamika, and Tanya want to ride that train.
Game or lame? day money. Alright, so we got our burger. We got our egg. We got a couple of pieces of bacon. We're gonna have our sweet and our savory. The girls are probably gonna see this and say, y'all are out of your crazy minds.
You ready?
Yes, have a taste. What does it taste like?
A slice of heaven.
I've never done this before, y'all, in my entire life. We're gonna be arrested. That is freaking wonderful.
We'll be right back.
And coming up, a fruit yogurt parfait, sure to delight your brunch butt.